cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us as we track the criminal activities of the global elite, also known as the New World Order Crime Syndicate. We're going to be here live the next 4 hours. I'll tell you about some of the guests that are coming up after the first segment is over and we go into the second segment. But I wanted to calmly go over the facts of what we're looking at right now, what we're facing. The different nuances. The biggest issue is we have criminal fear-mongering going on by the president, by Paulson, by the Republicans, by the Democrats. I monitored some of the brainwashing television transmissions, and I mean brainwashing in every respect, this morning, and they were using every trick of semantical manipulation, every trick of their body language. I'm going to be talking about that as well, but John McCain, just about 45 minutes ago, gave a three-minute statement we're going to be playing a little bit later, and he basically said that the whole economy is going to go bankrupt, Main Street is going to go bankrupt, that the economy is going to come to a standstill, that no one will get home loans or student loans or business loans, and that you won't be able to get Sonic hamburgers. He was actually talking about how vital the service industry is. By the way, that's listed by the federal government as manufacturing. We have a lot of manufacturing goes on in this country still. It's just manufacturing is now putting a hot dog in a hot dog bun or putting lettuce and cheese and tomatoes and onions and ketchup on a hamburger. That's the Japanese make cameras and Honda cars and optics for our satellites, and we make hamburgers and act tough. That's mainly what we do. So we'll be going over the incredible fear-mongering. Now, they had really dumbed it down. Just, there will be a depression if you don't give Secretary of Treasury Paulson immunity, secrecy, nothing can be reviewed, nothing can be looked at, no branch of government can look at it. It went on and on and on. And then they tried to deny that that was in the three-page bill, and then it came out that they lied, so they lost even more confidence with the American people. The tiny reservoir, a drop or two at the bottom of the well. And then they changed their talking points this morning, and I was running on the treadmill for 45 minutes this morning, flipping back and forth on CNN, Headline News, MSNBC, CNBC, Fox, and it was all the same talking points in the same order over and over and over again, because they understand, the public now understands, that the banking system is a parasitic organism that sits atop the real economy, and that it's feeding the remnants of the real economy. It's already cannibalized most of it. And that it wants to feed the last little scraps into its gaping maw with its snaggled fangs dripping venom. And so now they've gotten a little more sophisticated. They're talking to the public like the public might actually have opposable thumbs. And they're saying, oh, no. We're going to basically, i.e. the globalists, going to destroy the real economy if you don't submit to us. So this is outright economic terrorism in your face. We'll be right back to break it all down right here on the GCN Radio Network.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I have controlled myself in the last week, and I've tried to stay out of the presidential election diversion, the presidential election distraction. I mean, you could not get worse candidates than John McCain and Sarah Palin and, of course, Barack Obama and Joe Biden. I mean, there are so many bad things about each and every one of these candidates and both the selections of both parties that it is just unspeakable. But we have to remember that they are puppets bought and paid for by the same institutions, the same international banking crime cartel. And evidenced by that is how both parties, both presidential candidates, both VP candidates, the leader of the House, the leader of the Senate, the minority leaders, it is all the same talking points, and they get new ones every day. And you can, I mean, the literal talking points come out because simultaneously on every channel and on C-SPAN and the speeches they give, it is all word for word the same thing. And I wish we had the staff. Well, we do. We have the listeners. It'd be great if all the great listeners that are on YouTube and all the other big video sites, you really should go and grab all the other YouTube videos the last week and a half and just compare day by day how it's the same talking points and how there'll be a new talking point every day or two. I mean, that is control, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of people woke up 20 years ago, independently of hearing a radio show like this one, independent of reading some Patriot newsletter, and that's who was there first in resistance to the New World Order. You can call it the Truth Movement, the Liberty Movement, the Reality Movement, the Anti-Corruption Movement, the Pro-Humanity, Pro-Freedom Movement, but it really did start with the, quote, Patriot Movement in this country. Worldwide, this is the resistance. Got to be proud that the core of what was America and the good attributes and aspects of our 234-year history express themselves in that remnant that kept the torch of freedom and liberty and true information alive so that greater fires could be lit with it later. And with that tiny spark of reality that was left in the basic deluge of sports and mind control and Madison Avenue brainwashing, that it was the hardcore paleoconservatives that wrote the course out of the waters we're now in. Now, will we take that course? That remains to be seen. But now that course is becoming very popular, and people are discovering it by the millions on a weekly basis. So if we had more time, we would assuredly defeat the New World Order. Unfortunately, time is on no man's side, and things are deteriorating very, very fast. So I am blown away every night when I go to sleep. And I woke up five or six times last night. And I would get up and pace around in the dark, cold house. And I'd go in and look at my children and look at my wife. Go in and hang over the baby crib and stare at the baby in the starlight. And I just thought about how wild it is that out of the tens of millions of people resisting tyranny, that this radio show is the most prominent and is the most dominant. And I'm just struck with the soul-shaking reality of the responsibility I have. And I have to really control myself to not get frustrated by my lack of skills in many respects, organization, personnel, research. But in the final equation, none of us are perfect. None of us can do it all. And so many times after I get off the air, I say, oh, I meant to talk about this, and I meant to talk about that, and I meant to go over this facet. And I even write pages and pages of notes up of ideas I want to go over sometimes, and then I don't get to them. And some days I get on air and I just, it's not that I even want away from it all, because I know I can't just tune out of it and live in denial and things be okay. But But at the same time, I just want to do a better job. And I don't even know why I'm going into this right now on air. It's just we are in such incredible times right now. Instead of talking about the staged election or even the current economic rumblings and things that are going on, we really should be talking about what we're going to individually do if a full-bore depression unfolds. A, what that depression will look like. It's different manifestations that run from bad to worse. What it will look like. What life will be like. How long it will go. What the New World Order is going to do during this contrived collapse. So there's so much happening. There's so much going on. I saw McCain today saying that the economic stabilization, the market stabilization packages that the Treasury has can act on their own with hundreds of billions of purchases in the market of bad paper that they can move in for liquidity into the banks. That's completely lawless. McCain saying the president should just act alone and just lawlessly create out of nothing more credit. I want, in the sake of, quote, good radio, but we're not in the business here of good radio. We're in the business here of serious radio. I mean, it's the stuff radio's made of. To sit here like everybody's finally doing, I remember over the weekend thinking, I remember last week thinking, I've got to take these interviews with Sarah Palin and sounding like a complete moron, and I've got to play these on air right next to Miss South Carolina. In fact, I even said that last week. Others have picked up on that, that it's almost identical in the bumbling mindlessness. But see, that's not funny. It's not funny. It's a sickening feeling I get when I look at this. I mean, why revel in the fact that the elite thinks so little of us, they would give us this bumbling moron? So I want to talk about that. I just can't control myself anymore. Because, you know, it's not a distraction and a diversion. If we laugh at it and make it a joke, it's just a diversion. But if we illustrate the fact that the elite are putting people into power that can be completely manipulated and controlled and have a lot of baggage, then it's informative. But all of that is a side issue compared to the points I want to make right now very succinctly. And then I'm going to go through each one of these points and flesh them out a little bit more. And then I also open the phones up. We have a lot of guests too. But open the phones up to specifically get your calls on the economy. You know, I don't mind not screening the calls and just saying, what's your first name and where you're calling from? But I also get irritated that we can have really big events happening, like a 9/11 terror attack, or an economic implosion with $1.2 trillion loss in the stock market in one day. And I know good and well when I open the phones up, it's going to be person after person plugging their websites or things. And hey, that's okay. I don't mind people doing that. We're here to network, folks. But I really want to hear from callers specifically on the economy, on the... They're not calling it a bailout. That term didn't work anymore, so they're calling it the rescue package. They shifted about a day ago from bailout to rescue package. That sounds better. Oh, you want to render aid. You want to save a drowning child. The rescue package. I also want to get into... I don't spend enough time on this. I should make a film, or somebody should, just showing the psychology of the news readers. And there are textbooks written on this, and there's different schools of thought on it. And it's changed from the older male authority figure very sternly telling you the news. That was the old model. And they've shifted in the last 7 years or so almost entirely to supermodel females licking their lips and looking at you with sexual desire. Now, they're not really looking at you. They're looking at the teleprompter. And then they now have the male anchors and contributors talk so genuinely and thank you and oh and so lovingly talking to you. So the women sit there with sexual desire for the men. And I mean, they're finding the best at this. I'm sitting there on the jogging on the treadmill, and I'm having to, you know, have my cognitive, more scientific regions of my brain stay in constant conscious control, because on channel after channel there are just gorgeous women with glistening lipstick staring at the camera with total sexual desire while they spew lies and propaganda and pout their lips, and then cut to men who are acting genuine and compassionate and loving. That's for the women, what the women want. Just like they're in love with you. So sexual passion from a woman, what men want, lust. And from the men, they're staring at the women viewers with just genuine focus and concern, like they're across a candlelit white linen dinner table with a French waiter pouring Dom Perignon. And then there's the hovering mist and subliminals and five or six video feeds in the back to switch on the subconscious mind, because the conscious mind can't gauge it all. You know, I want to warn the public, this is mind control. You understand that? We got Max Kaiser, economic reporter, joining us in about 40 minutes.
Don't send your kin.
Then we're going to have about an hour of open phones. Then Colonel Craig Roberts joins us.
Like I said, you'd say the same old thing that you
hadn't had him on in a while.
Lay there in your bed.
Talk about Mr. Adventure. Marine Corps sniper, Vietnam, highly decorated.
Familiar, crying, cussing, moan.
Police detective, SWAT team commander, helicopter pilot. Crashed one time in Tucson when the helicopter broke down. That's an interesting story. Then investigated Oklahoma City bombing. It was a government op. Had the feds try to set him up, reported on them killing other cops who were investigating, killing other witnesses. And I had Cheech and Chong set up together. I mean, this would be the first time they've been on radio together. They started a new tour a few weeks ago. Tommy Chong, as you know, is a fan of my films and has tuned into the show. He's been on a few times. I wanted to get them on about the police state and the drug war and the rest of it. And we had them both set up, but Cheech had to cancel today. But he's going to be on later. We're going to get him soon, Cheech and Chong together. But Tommy Chong will be on for 30 minutes at the end of the show today to talk about how they've been trying to set him up and some other things. I have Jesse Ventura, Governor Ventura, will be on the show tomorrow. And he's coming into town in late October, hanging out for a few days. That'll be interesting, driving around with Jesse Ventura. He is something else in person, folks. Something else. That is a real character. And ain't got time to bleed. Normally, I'd be looking forward to that, but so much is happening as everything goes to hell in a handbasket that it's kind of a side issue. That's for the Willie Nelson event that we're going to be at. That, by the way, is going to be free on the Internet. I'll announce details tomorrow of it, but it's going to be streamed free on the Internet because this event, without it even being announced, sold out in one day. And it was an event Willie was already planning. So we just are killing two birds at one stone, having the 9/11 / anti-war, anti-New World Order event with Jesse Ventura, myself. And then I found out that Jimmy Vaughn's going to be there. So that's always good. And a bunch of other people. This has turned into quite an event. So I'll just leave it at that. And we got Jesse Ventura popping in for an hour tomorrow before the big surprise guest. Now, our big, big guest is traveling, but 98% chance. I mean, he is set for the show, but we'll see if that materializes. But it just won't be that we're having some big celebrity on the show. The big issue is what they're going to be talking about. there are those little pleasures in life. Like savagely stabbing the New World Order in the gut with a double-edged dagger of truth. We're gaining a lot of momentum, ladies and gentlemen. And I just thank God I'm alive. I'm thank God that I had life experiences and parents and teachers in my life that put me on the path to not be one of these mindless idiots out in the street. You know, they're only maybe 10% of the population, max. But they are calling to talk radio going, my 401k, it's going down. You gotta bail it out. You gotta do the rescue package. Your 401k is gone, sir, because the international bankers monetized it and then sold it into junk paper. But you can't ever blame the elite, because to you, the elite doesn't exist, because you're the elite. You know, you got a bass boat. You're the elite. Or you got a badge and a gun, you're the elite. Or you're a school teacher, you're the elite. Or you're a McDonald's manager, you get to boss people around, you're the elite. No, you're not the elite, okay? There is an elite, and you ain't it. And the elite's very dangerous. And they're where they're at because they're ruthless, and they're cunning, and they will eat our lunch unless you grow up and be a man about things and start admitting there's a global crime syndicate in a new world order. If you don't do that, Jack, like 90% of people are starting to wake up and doing, we don't have a snowball's chance in hell. I mean, I listen to these people. So I'm going to calm when we get back, break down the economic situation. I've been kind of just eating around the edges of it and throwing out some of the other issues I'm thinking about. And then we're going to open the phones up on the economy, because we're going to have open phones when Max Kaiser's on with us, too. And if I go to the calls, we're not going to screen your call. Your first name, where you're calling from. But when I take you out of the box and put you on the air, if you don't get into the economic situation, I'm going to dump you in about 10 seconds. I mean, if you got a plug or something, I'll give you 10 seconds. Dear God, help us. We'll be right back. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are the websites. They are the premier anti-New World Order websites in the world. Don't forget. What makes this transmission possible, what makes everything we do here possible, is your support of the radio show. Whether it's telling your friends, your neighbors, your family, email lists, message boards, MySpace, about Infowars.com or Infowars.net, PrisonPlanet.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. That's how we get the word out. We're telling people about the free podcast. By the way, it's going to be launched tomorrow. Free archives. I talked Ted into letting me do this. I'm glad, because we don't have time to play around. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. We got to get the word out here. There was a time when Ted literally had memberships that even kept him afloat. And what they're going to do is they're going to bump it up to like 120-something K and have special little reports and stuff for all the shows, and you'll still have memberships at Genesis. But I'm going to be offering my show all the archives for free. And by the way, I've been saving them for 2 years, so it's going to go back 2 years. Now, that is quite a job, though, to put those 2 years up. So for the next few weeks, and I'm sure we'll procrastinate and it'll never happen, but for the next few weeks, we're just going to start adding every day the new show right after it ends. So you'll have archives of the show, not just the podcast. I mean, the podcast has been an archive Well, bottom line, they just walked in and handed me some stuff. Got distracted there. Bottom line, there's going to be archives of the show there for you. And you also have the free podcast. So that's how we get the word out. That's how we reach out to people. That's how we reach new people, because we've never had more fertile ground than freedom lovers have now. The public is ready to receive the information. They are ready to question authority. They're going to use a world carbon tax to regulate our everyday lives and enslave us. And so now, like never before, both in cyberspace, which 70-plus percent of the Western world is now online, it's over 90% in South Korea, the most connected country in the world, then 80-something percent in Japan, 75% or so in the U.S. And you've got hundreds of millions of people coming online every few months. And the enemy is certainly preparing to restrict, to tax, to shut down, to curtail, to govern the internet, to govern it back, to begin hacking pieces of it off, to make it more sluggish and then force people in to internet too. But their plans are behind schedule. Their New World Order program of consolidation is collapsing too fast. They wanted to have more of a controlled, gradual collapse. That's in their own white papers. They are not invincible. They are not gods. The technology has, their own technology, has gotten ahead of them. The decision makers at the top are very evil, wicked, doddering, on average 80-year-old men who can't understand what their advisors are even telling them. Thank God their younger advisors are not in control yet. They will be soon. Crises have a way of shaking off the old deadwood and bringing in the younger, more hungry demons. But you're also going to have some of the sycophants who aren't even as hungry as their overlords, as their masters that brought them in as apprentice into the system. And so in some cases, you won't get younger and more evil and more hungry and more modern minds in control. You will get the sycophants in. Well, that brings a great element of danger. But it'll be a mix of those. And so great change is upon us. The New World Order has tried to control the change. They have controlled and governed a great deal of it, but they have lost control because they've lost the confidence of the people, both in the economic superstructure and overarching system, but also just in basic confidence on political issues, not just in the United States and Europe, but worldwide in different regions of the geopolitical kingdoms, as the New World Order calls them. So there is an awakening, an accelerating, a quickening that is taking place. The evil is intensifying, the good is intensifying. Those that are willfully want to be dumbed down, they are more in denial and more in delusion than ever. Those that want to be awakened are accelerating their knowledge gathering, their understanding. These are very, very, very exciting times to be alive. Very perilous times. But as the structure of the world architecture is liquefied, unfrozen during this time of flux, of change, we, the common people, can be history's actors. We can take control collectively at every level of society, moving with one mind towards liberty and freedom. And that is an unstoppable attack pattern that cannot be dealt with, that cannot be intimidated or bludgeoned or backed off. It is a asymmetrical, low-intensity conflict in the info war, but widespread and in every strata and sector of society, to the point of the enemy cannot react. Their propaganda systems are built along a widespread blanketing and dumbing down, and is based on the drones still having confidence in the system. And they have some specialized propaganda for different technocrats and different strata of the system, gauging the psychology of those different niches in the overall human system. But a lot of those individuals who were sold on going along with the evil, but only given a small glimpse of it, and they are now getting outside the box, outside the compartmentalization, and getting an idea of the true magnitude of the New World Order and just how dark and destructive it is. So a lot of them are pulling out of it. Most of them just passively. But that's enough to bring it down alone. They're finding out that they are not the pet puppies, as Mark Kornke likes to say. They are not the chosen ones. They are to be gutted and stuffed and taxidermied as well. So the spell of self-assured, giggling self-delusion is beginning to evaporate. I mean, it always shocks me just how delusional the general public is. And the elites are not immune from this either, the different strata of elites. Again, some guy that makes $400,000 a year and has a coveted membership at the local country club and lives in a $3 million house and has got a trophy wife, they really think they're members of the elite because they go to luncheons when a senator comes into town and the senator has a list of names they memorize before the meeting, and so they say hello to the person in their first name, and you know they're all on a big power trip thinking they've reached the creme de la creme of society. Just like in some one-horse town with 200 people living in it, Bubba Johnson, who owns the auto parts store and the one Easy Mart convenience store, everybody stoops and bows to him. Because his three brothers are the sheriff's deputies. And he's got, you know, half the people in the town employed at his mini-mart, and it's the same thing. And you run into this in business and life, and I always talk about it, but I'm really just now beginning to understand it. The public are on their own personal little power trips. I mean, they're walking around believing whatever delusion. That's what dressing up fancy is all about. And I'm not saying dressing up nice is bad. You know, it shows you have respect for yourself, or you're, you know, trying to look nice, or it's a special event. But for a lot of people, it's turned into like a three-year-old girl dressing up in a princess outfit. Or a five-year-old boy dressing up in a Green Lantern outfit. And it is this delusion. And you run into these people who, my corporation right or wrong, my country right or wrong, and they lie to themselves. I mean, they will try to cheat you in business in a minute and then make up lies to themselves about you while they're trying to Shanghai you, while they're trying to bushwhack you. Or they'll lie about in a relationship why they're doing something. Or they will believe their own baloney, believe their own BS. And they will always overestimate themselves. And it's a false self-confidence. You can people watch and watch people at the gym where they really posture, or because endorphins are flowing, or watch people at the mall, or watch them at church. And the posturing. I mean, so much of our species is posturing. And it's been said by philosophers, the higher sinners, the higher development in humanity is about getting past the posturing and getting into veritas, or truth, and ideas and invention and literature and creativity and being honorable. And then you realize that so many people are living in delusion. And that's why they don't want to be told the economy is built on a house of cards, on sand. That's why they don't want to be told there's a corrupt elite. Because then they might have to do something about it, and they don't want to hear that they're a slave. Why, they're running things. Why, you know, they're powerful. Why the chief of police knows their name and tips his hat at them. They like being suckers. They like being maroons. They like being schmucks. They like being lied to. They enjoy being fools. Because to a three-year-old child, they really believe they're the fairy princess. They really believe they're Superman or Batman or Super Skrull. They really believe they're Ben Grimm. Just like they really believe they're members of the elite. It's just a new form of delusion. And whereas you really could matter in history and you really could amount to something and your life could really mean something, as soon as you figure it out, it's about getting out of delusion and diversion and getting into reality, and that all of your passion and all of your fire in the belly is not about yelling and screaming over your favorite football team. That energy is about defending your tribe and your people against a tyranny that will always be manifesting itself. There will always be evil in our species, so there will always be a need for good to challenge it. But they figured out how to seduce the public and the world into being not a race of men, but a race of preening, strutting peacocks. We have been right about everything we've basically discussed. But still, I'm attacked on the radio nationally and locally. Local talk show hosts, two of which I've been sent recordings of in the last week in Austin, said that I'm making stuff up about the economy and I'm a liar and I'm anti-American. You know what the good news is, though? The public heard my predictions, heard Ron Paul's predictions, the other economist we had on, and they know we were right, and they know you're wrong. And so, see, that's how it works. You can only scam people so many times. You can only con people so many times until they figure out you're selling a load of bull. And you can try to change horses in the middle of the stream. You can try to change parties and fool people so many times. But at the end of the day, that doesn't work anymore. And you can tell people that the economy is doing well when it's not. And you will lose credibility. Now, let me just get into some of the basics of the economy, and then I will go to Joe, Rob, Alex, Scott, Tony, and others. First off, it is the very same financial elite that created the current market situation. I mean, the very individuals, Paulson and others, that are now telling us they are going to save us, while they're involved in conflict of interest, transferring hundreds of billions of dollars of assets and liquidity into the companies that they still own large amounts of interest in. And it's the same mainstream media and the same President Bush and John McCain that told us the economy was doing absolutely peachy king and was marvelous and wonderful, and anyone that said otherwise was a conspiracy theorist in the last 2 years, and that's the exact words they used, et infinitum, like a flock of cockatoos, repeating the same thing, parroting it over and over again. Now, in the last 2 weeks, they begin engaging in financial terrorism, screaming from their high positions of power as Treasury Secretary, as President, as presidential candidates, as leaders of the House and Senate, both parties, that there would be a massive depression if blanket, total immunity and power was not given to them. That has been in all three versions of the bill, and they're still defending it. I saw a different White House spokesman on the lawn this morning on Fox News saying that the immunity and the imperial power is good, and still saying they support it. So let's get that part straight. There is no doubt that the fear-mongering caused the biggest single drop in stock market history. $1,200,000,000,000 was 1.23. $1,200,000,000,000+ lost in one day. And then what do the terrorists do? The talking point last night and today on every channel, on every talk show, we've got to get behind the bailout now. And people calling in saying, the feedback, you know, the talking heads say, you won't have a 401k. There'll be even more losses if you don't get behind this. And then the people call in saying, I know it's socialism and I know it's corrupt and I know it's bad, but my 401k, you've got to save it. The 401k is a dead duck because they wrote all that paper to buy up real assets they fenced, and now they're leaving you holding the bag. If they do this bailout, your 401k, when it crashes, will crash even lower than the bottom is here. But we'll see. We'll see if the public buys it. We'll be right back.
This is the end. Beautiful friend. This is the end. My only friend.
So, 1.2 trillion lost in the stock market yesterday. Went up 200 and something points today, but didn't get anywhere near so far regaining its losses. And much of it is infected with the junk paper. But notice how the bankers did this. We told you 2.5 years ago from Bilderberg that they were planning to blame it on subprime mortgages. And that's also another part of the talking point. Well, this started with the people. The American people need to pay this. It's not the bankers. They haven't done anything wrong. It's not the brokerage houses. They haven't done anything wrong. The American people did this. And now the talking point today by both parties and all the pundits on TV is this is your fault. You did this, and Main Street will be destroyed if you don't bail out Wall Street. And you're going to lose all of your pension funds, and you're going to lose your IRAs, and then you're going to lose your savings. Hey, folks, if these bailouts and this pardons are given to the financial institutions to take us into the next phase of their scam, they will fully devalue the dollar, and then that will destroy your savings and your investments. So you see, if we go with their plan, it means total ruination. But if we don't go with it, they engage in financial terrorism, and they don't have the Federal Reserve inject hundreds of billions of dollars into the economy and into the stock market, and you get a $1.2 trillion-plus plunge. So there is no doubt that we have never seen a president in more than 60 years get up on TV and talk about there will be a depression if you don't do this or that. I don't believe it was ever even done before that. I can't find a case. No one I know, no economist we've talked to has. So weeks and weeks of fear-mongering, do what we say, give us total immunity to do whatever we want, or there will be a total depression. And McCain and Bush and all of them, including Obama, they're all up there saying, if you don't get behind this bailout, which they're now calling a rescue package, there will be a depression, which is another form of false flag. They are engaging in terrorism. They attack us with a military-industrial complex attack and say that some foreign group did it so they can invade a bunch of sovereign nations that had nothing to do with it. They tell us to do everything we say on the economic front, make us imperial kings who there is no oversight over, or there will be depression. And then the Congress says no because the calls were going 100-1 against it conservatively. We had a congressman on yesterday that said he had over 2,000 calls, and 5 of them were for the bailout. And so the media, the government circles the wagons against the people. If there was ever an example of how it's the people against the media and the elite, the global elite and the corporate-owned media that's owned by them, here it is. Both parties, the leadership, the entire dominant media, saying we've got to have the bailout, we've got to have the rescue plan, we've got to do it, 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 or there will be a depression. And then the Federal Reserve didn't prop up the stock market yesterday. The thing's totally rigged. And they decide to, quote, teach you a lesson, to panic you. And then the new talking point comes out of, see, you didn't do what we said. So $1.2 trillion-plus was lost yesterday. So the big story here, the big issue, is that we're witnessing economic terrorism. An economic gun to the world economy's head, and worldwide they are blaming the Congress for all the economic problems that are happening that the bankers engineered.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Max Keiser, inventor of the Hollywood Stock Exchange, virtual specialist technology, TV presenter, radio host, broadcaster, journalist, a presenter for Al Jazeera English, and a blogger for the Huffington Post, will be joining us coming up in the next segment from London, England. He's been accurately predicting for more than 5 years what we're currently watching. I've been watching him on Al Jazeera, British TV, Russian TV, and I thought, man, this is a voice we need to hear here in the United States. So we're going to be getting him on the show today. And we're going to be taking phone calls while he's on with us as well. I just broke down the basics of what's happening with the economy. I'll give the latest market news and analysis with Max Keiser coming up in the next segment. Right now, let's start going to your calls. We'll be taking them with Keiser as well. Joe in California, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how are you? I have nothing to plug other than information and trying to wake up America along with you with this, what you coin now, and this appropriate description of economic 9/11. Madison Avenue is being, you know, blown up premeditatedly by these international banker terrorists.
Well, they expand the power of the FBI and pass a bunch of police state laws. The Wall Street bombed itself in 1920. People forget about that. So, yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah, and we need to look at, you know, the people behind the veil, the same role players. For example, I worked for AIG, and AIG, you know, as you know, was the 18th largest company in the world.
And they insured the scam. They insured the scam paper.
Absolutely, and good old Maurice Greenberg, Hank Greenberg, who ran the company from 62 to 2005. Listen to his credentials. This is what something that perhaps Paul Craig Roberts, your next guest, can
And he made over
address.
$3 billion himself.
Correct, and here's the point. He was the honorary vice chairman and director of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a member of David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission. In the 1980s, his foreign connections prompted the Reagan administration to offer him a job as a deputy director of the CIA, which he declined. But then in 2005, he and his two sons, after being under scrutiny of Elliot Spitzer, the Attorney General of New York, he and his two sons, Jeffrey, and who ran Marsh McLennan, and Evan Greenberg, who ran Ace Limited, cornered virtually the three of them, father and son combination, cornered the insurance industry worldwide. Now, he was also a client and close friend of Henry Kissinger during the 80s.
And how did they do that? Through selective enforcement, because they controlled the regulatory heads, they allowed their company to engage in creating false assets through the paper scam to then corner other legitimate structures in insurance and banking, and now they are using federal regulators to go after solvent banks to forcibly consolidate to themselves.
Absolutely, and Henry Kissinger, he was such a buddy of his, that Kissinger opened the way for Greenberg, you know, in the 60s, during Mao Zedong's era, which was impossible to get into China, and he cornered the Asian market in insurance. And then as a return favor, he appointed Kissinger, the Hong Kong Chief Executive's Council of International Advisors from 98 to 2005. He also was a trustee.
And then they got to design the architecture of who got to come into China, and those first companies like Walmart that did were able to then corner the manufacturing market and destroy all their competition, not through free market, but through controlled crony monopoly system.
Absolutely. In fact, he's Hank Greenberg is currently the trustee of the Asian Society. He's a trustee emeritus of the Rockefeller University, an honorary trustee of the Rockefeller Foundation as well. He donated $50 million to Yale University, Skull and Bones, in 2006 to advance Yale's China collaboration. I mean, so the point is this, and this is one of the things that maybe you can talk to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. I may wanted to bring this up when he's been on your show in the last several weeks, but I love him dearly. He has great research, but he seems to think that financially speaking, that, you know, even though he's right on in the state police and how that's all being orchestrated, he doesn't believe that this is all inside as far as bringing this pre-made.
Well, that's because he comes from the inside structure. Excellent call.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We should have Max Kaiser in the next few minutes. We got a bad line to England, so he's going to another office right now. Joining us, he's a writer for the Huffington Post, presenter on Al Jazeera TV English, and on other TV networks as well. So he'll be joining us coming up here in just a few minutes as soon as we work that out. Bottom line, this is a financial 9/11. And in fact, the establishment have been calling it on the order of 9/11. They are the authors of the inside baseball scam. They control the regulators. A small group of banks, i.e. the private Federal Reserve shareholders, they regulate and control all the other banks. And then other federal regulators put into power by this corrupt system regulate and control the insurance agencies and the stockbrokers, the brokerage firms. And so they created thousands of trillions of fake paper, hundreds of times bigger than the entire real global economy. And they are looting everything. They know they're bringing the dollar down. They know they're bringing down the world financial system. They've had Kissinger and the head of the Kissinger Group and a bunch of others. We've had stories up on Infowars.net by Steve Watson, excellent ones in the last week. You should go read it. We should play those video clips of them on television saying we need a new world order. We need a global regulatory banking system over every nation. Only that will stop further crises. So, this inside group who control the regulators, who control the liquidity, they have flooded the world with all this fake paper. They bought the mines and the stocks and the defense stocks and the real estate and the media companies. They bought up the real infrastructure. And then now, as the derivatives come home to roost, which is hundreds of times greater than all the real assets in the world, they're blaming it on less than $100 billion in subprime mortgages, which could have been paid off for less than $100 billion. They're claiming that caused all of this, to blame it on the people as usual. And so they terrorize for 2 weeks saying, if you don't pass this bailout, there will be a depression. No president, no Treasury Secretary ever talked like that. Then they don't have the president's working group on the markets, the plunge protection team. They have them stand down. They have them stand down yesterday. So $1,200,000,000,000+ can be lost in the stock market. And then they say, okay, it's going to go down even further unless you, the American people, and I saw John McCain say this, the American people don't understand, doesn't matter if it's unpopular, we've got to do this. Sit down and shut up. And it's still in the provision to give immunity, but not just immunity, nothing can be reviewed by the Treasury to make it a fourth super branch of government above everything with no oversight. The very criminals that engineered this. And now they've said they want to create a new world government banking body over the crisis caused by the American people. And the very bankers that engineered it all now want to stampede us into accepting a world government banking system. We'll buy our carbon credits from them. That's the new bubble they want to create. It's amazing. For the rest of the hour, and we will be taking your calls for him, coming up at the bottom of the hour, is an amazing individual. I've seen him on Russian TV, Iranian TV. I've seen him on British television. He's one of the top financial presenters for Al Jazeera English. He's a blogger for the Huffington Post, one of the biggest alternative media sites in the world. He's also the host of a weekly radio talk show about the markets on Resonance FM in London, which I'm also a routine guest on other shows on that fine station. And it just goes on and on and on. He has a daily podcast. He's also an inventor. He invented the Hollywood Stock Exchange and a lot of other things. We're really honored to have him on with us for the next 47 minutes. Mr. Kaiser, so much is happening. Can you just give us the basics? You've been predicting this for a long time of what we're really facing, who the insiders are, and where they're trying to take things versus where the Congress is trying to take things, saying no to the rescue package. I think bailout isn't a good enough con name, so now it's the rescue looting package. Break it down for us.
Yeah, sure, Alex. Thanks for having me on the show. You know, I was listening earlier. You were mentioning about the sexification of the evening news, and I am. I think about on CNBC when they have Maria Bartiromo. If you've ever seen that show,
and oh yes,
that shot of her standing on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and she is basically the female egg that is surrounded by hundreds of male sperm trying to penetrate the egg. And that shot from a visual is quite stunning when you put it in that context. Keynes talked about releasing the animal instincts in the economy, and I'm sure she's launched more buys and sales based on that one shot of her surrounded by all those hungry, all those active sperm than probably any bailout package ever conceived.
Yeah, this is an archetypal image, and the psychological warfare experts are masters of it. It is taught by the PR firms, but the public doesn't understand that this is how it's done.
Anyway, on the financial side of it, you know, people get bogged down in the jargon and the terms that are used by the finance media to try to confuse people. But it's really, you know, you break it down, you know, words like derivative, for example. You know, I think people would benefit if they just kind of understood a little bit more about what this whole idea of derivatives are. If I can just spend a few minutes on that.
I'm just going to sit here. You just run.
Yeah, the thing about a derivative, if you think about it, you got to go back to, remember, the dot-com craze of the late 90s. A lot of these dot-com companies did what was called banner swapping, where Company A and Company B would swap, let's say, $1 million worth of banners. These banners had no intrinsic value at all. But both companies would book the transaction as a short-term gain, and both companies would book the long-term the loss as a long-term liability. If you think about that in terms of what the banks have been doing for the past 5 to 10 years, it's kind of a sophisticated version of this banner swapping, where Bank A and Bank B, they'll both swap $1 billion worth of derivatives. These derivatives have no intrinsic value whatsoever. But both Bank A and Bank B will book the immediate sales of profit. That'll drop down to the bottom line. That'll boost the stock price, which will trigger an option payment to the executive. And both banks will consider the loss as a long-term liability that they don't have to worry about for 10, 20, 30 years. Now, what happened, that's just, if you look at it in that context, you understand that what's been going on is just billions, hundreds of billions, and trillions of dollars worth of what are intrinsically, inherently worthless transactions, but they generate these huge amounts of fees for the people involved. And for 10 or 15 years, they could get away with it because for 10 or 15 years, really going all the way back to the early 1980s, the trend in the markets, in the bond markets specifically, has been one where interest rates have been, for the most part, going down. So this has covered up a lot of sins over the past 10, 15, 20 years.
And so has the trade deficit.
Exactly, because that is essentially a number that keeps building. But, you know, a lot of those numbers never hit the actual balance sheet. For example, you know, the number like the GDP number or the inflation numbers or the employment numbers. Or, you know, a lot of these numbers are not massaged. And we made a film for this, a couple of films about on this very topic. But what happened last summer, Alex, and the reason why this crisis really hit was that starting last summer, you had this long-term trend in interest rates reverse itself, and interest rates started to tick up. And what happened was the hologram, that is this global financial system, started to be shut off. And these banks started to have to realize that what they were carrying, they had to come clean and say, look, this doesn't actually have any value whatsoever. And this triggered this, what I call a hologram, a global financial hologram, I guess, you know, to start to trigger the continuous and the contiguous requirement from various banks to recognize that what they were holding was in fact worth nothing, and this kept building and building. Now, this this effort right now by the Congress to put a gun to the head by Wall Street to put a gun to Congress's head and say, look, we need another $700 billion to keep the Ponzi scheme going. You know, it's money that basically is it's not going to really put any dent into the fact that the underlying economics that we're talking about here have shifted away from ever being able to continue this game any further. It's not going to change anything.
It's a black hole. It's a black hole.
Yeah, effectively, it has become a financial black hole. You could shovel $700 billion, $1 trillion, $3 trillion. It won't make any difference. The structural integrity is going to collapse.
Well, this is like a house that's on fire, and the firefighters try to put it out by throwing giant truckloads of kindling on it.
Pretty much. This is actually making the problem a lot worse by throwing... And also, remember, when they talk about putting money into the problem, they're not actually putting any money into the problem. They're putting credit into the problem. And what does that mean? It just means that in the American banking system and the global banking system works on this fractional reserve requirement.
And so they're always leveled. That's the point. All this money and $940 billion lended out last week alone to the banks, they're going out with the same scam instruments, even more desperately trying to keep the bubble going.
It's just piling more debt on top of debt. You can't get rid of debt by creating more debt. All you're doing is you're making the situation more unstable.
Well, bottom line, when we get back, I want to hear from you, Max Keiser, because you've predicted this with great precision, like Ron Paul and others, where the next phase of this is going to go, what it's going to look like. And I also want to hear you give us your expert take on the asinine claim that subprime mortgages, it's all our fault, we have to pay this. They're trying to, the people that engineered this are now trying to pose as the saviors, get incredible new powers out of it, and at the same time be given this immunity. And so I want to break that down with Max Keiser. The website's maxkeiser.net. Stay with us. Bottom line, we have the architects of the derivative black hole posing as the saviors and engaging in economic terrorism. I mean, there's no words strong enough to describe this. As our guest said, Max Keiser, they have a gun to our head and then driving down the stock market yesterday with all their bad mouthing and with the different financial powers the Treasury has to then threaten the public into submit to us or it's over. What are they really after here and what's happening, Max Keiser?
Well, let's talk a little bit about how to affect the market downturn. You know, as you mentioned, I designed the technology for the Hollywood Stock Exchange, which became the basis for what are now called prediction markets. These are online markets using virtual currencies. And I used a lot of the technology that was used on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, which is the specialist system. And, for example, the government, in this case, those who are interested in getting a buy-in from the American public through having the stocks crash and the fear that would come as a result of that, you don't have to actually sell the stocks per se, although they are actively buying and selling stocks. You know, as you pointed out, after the 87 crash, Reagan and Greenspan and Robert Rubin created the Working Group on Finance, which is euphemistically now called the Plunge Protection Team. And I was working on Wall Street at the time. I was on Wall Street the day of the crash, and I remember that quite vividly. And I remember Reagan's speech and what Greenspan had to say about that. But this technology has evolved. So you don't actually need, let's say, the government or whomever selling. And by the way, you know, J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs have very, very close ties to the government, as does Sumitomo Bank in Japan and various other central banks. They control a very large central pool of capital that is used ostensibly for currency control, because after 1971, the world went off the gold standard. You know, the U.S. Closed the gold window and went on a pure fiat currency standard. This means that governments had to keep their currencies somewhat in line to affect global trade. Well, that's been abused over the years, so that the governments are now using that mechanism to, as we see now, to make political policy by making prices move. And in the case of these prices on the derivative exchanges and the bond markets, you don't actually have to go in there and change the price per se. You just need to change the ratio required that creates a downtick or an uptick. For example, on the Hollywood Stock Exchange or any virtual market, if I want to make it so that stock prices go down, I simply change the ratio required of a sale versus a buy that would affect the downtick. And if you affect that change, you create anyone who comes in with a sell order, that sell order is magnified versus a buy order. So every sell order suddenly is worth 100 sell orders. And if you simply change that technology, you're not actually buying or selling anything. You're just playing into somebody's emotion because, as we know from economics and finance, there's a lot of emotion involved. And if you start to see prices tick down, you then are emotionally, you're kind of drawn into it, and you panic, and you sell more readily. And this is very easy for them to do this. Now, I had an issue a few years ago because the Pentagon was launching under Poindexter. They were launching a virtual market called the Policy Analysis Market, or PAM, where they wanted to make futures contracts based on future terrorist events or try to predict terrorist events. And I was adamantly against it.
It was going to be betting on terrorist events, which, by the way, they could trigger when they wanted to.
Well, that was my point. You see, they go out there with this message that markets are fair and markets are are able to affect a certain equilibrium. That's true if you leave them alone. But you don't.
But we don't have a free market. It is rigged.
It's completely rigged. I made a film called Rigged Market for Al Jazeera. Nobody in America would broadcast the film. Only Al Jazeera broadcast the film. I made a movie for Al Jazeera called Death of the Dollar, Death of the Dollar 2, talking about how the dollar and the markets were rigged, and nobody in the U.S. would broadcast it. In the U.K., in our radio show, I said that Bradford and Bingley, 3 years ago, I said Bradford and Bingley is going to collapse because of what they were doing in the markets. They just recently collapsed. I said Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were going to collapse. They collapsed.
And by the way, that's why you're here. We see hundreds of these experts who, in different sites, have done the analysis who are wrong about 80% of the time. But that's why the establishment puts them there, is to lie and mislead people. And then people like Ron Paul, yourself, and really hundreds of other economists like Joe Stiglitz, they are almost always right, but then you hardly ever see them on TV.
Yeah, I follow those guys' work. Maybe what I bring to it is understanding the technology of money, and since going off the gold standard, money has become, and financial engineering has become, the biggest product in America. America doesn't make stuff anymore. They export exchange units and bonds and currency as an exchange for stuff. And you have a world.
Basically, they're the man behind the curtain running the different Ponzi schemes.
That's right. And it's worked very well up until last summer when interest rates, which are basically the secret sauce of any Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan derivative product, structured vehicle, special.
Hold on. Stay there. MaxKaiser.net. We'll be right back to break that down and more.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him, they can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down.
Yes, Max Kaiser, website maxkaiser.net, Kaiser spelled K-E-I-S-E-R. Got links to him up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. He is internationally known, and he's known in Europe, Japan, Asia, Russia, England. But, of course, here in the U.S., because he'll tell you the truth, he's not known because the financial hologram, the false reality, as he properly calls it, I love that term, owns the corporate media. The PR firms that are there to sell you lies. And now we see the Ponzi scheme coming to an end. The question is, will they be able to set up their new international order and give themselves global governmental powers to enforce a new order? That's what they do. They create crises, scam everybody, and then pose as the saviors into the next phase. And so he's giving us a lot of technical information, which is very valuable. And I don't want to say dumbing it down, but you know, even for people like myself who try to follow it, you've been very good at predicting what's going to happen. I know there's different scenarios that could unfold, all of them not good for the average person, most of them not good even for the elites that are running all of this. But, break down what it means that Congress said no. Now the fear-mongering of, oh, look, you made the market go down $1,200,000,000, the biggest stock market drop ever in total numbers, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, there's so many facets to this, but where do you see it going, Max Keiser?
Well, the question is, are the markets being manipulated? And the question is, yes, they're being manipulated. And I think, again, you know, my predictions that I've made have been based on looking for how and when markets have been manipulated, and then understand who's manipulating them, why they're manipulating them, and then you can make some predictions based on that. You know, after the 9/11 collapse, you know, Greenspan dropped interest rates to a very, very low level. He was manipulating the interest rate market, and he was doing so, in my opinion, because he wanted to save face, you know, that the idea was we can't show the bad guys that we're going to stop shopping. We don't want to interrupt our model here in America, 70% consumption. So they dropped those interest rates very low in a very manipulative way. And this created, you know, there should have been a recession in 2001, 2002 because of the dot-com collapse. But that recession never happened. Greenspan simply reinflated the bubble by keeping those rates too low as a way to really overcompensate for those attacks. Because those attacks, there was already a recession baked into the cake. They overcompensated, they manipulated rates down.
And so now it's worse today, and then they're going to pop it up again, making it even worse in the future.
Yeah, the bubble reinflated. You had the real estate bubble. It popped. Now, what's in that bill that they're trying to circulate? Unbelievably, there's a clause in the bill that would move to reserve-less banking. They want to have the American banking system go from having 1 or 2 or 3% reserves on the balance sheet for the loans to zero. Reserveless banking. That's like saying we're going to be moving to an economy based on a currency that's collateralized by chicken feathers. There's absolutely nothing in there. They want to have an economy that's pure transactions. They want to still generate fees. Hank Paulson's laundromat, the $700 billion laundromat, all they do is it's a circular laundromat. Bad debts go in, and then nice fresh T-bills that are completely uncollateralized, freshly printed, come out. There's a loss booked. And that book loss is going to go as an item on the balance sheet to be paid for, but I don't call them the American taxpayer because there's no such thing anymore. You have only the American debtor slaves. You have debt slaves, that's it. You know, I call it the American duck farm or foie gras farm. You know, they're stuffed.
You know, I'm laughing, Max Keiser, but the bankers are laughing, but who gets left holding the bill? Sure, it's all fiat for them, and they buy real things with it. And you know, empires are bought and paid for in wars, but then we are left holding the bag. And so now they're trying to go from a fiat system to a complete hologram forecast. I mean, how is this going to end?
Well, I was very struck by the story out of the UK. There's a banker in the city of London. He was a rich banker, an elite, I guess you could call, who just killed himself, threw himself in front of a freight train, because this, you know, part of the situation here is I'm convinced that the bankers like are almost worshiping death in some ways. For example, Goldman Sachs, you know, they create bonds that they themselves are destroying in their back office. They're completely schizophrenic. You know, they were doing this as part of the build-up to the meltdown in the real estate market. The story here, how Goldman profited from the subprime meltdown, and talking about how they themselves were issuing bonds to finance the subprime while shorting the bonds at the same time. So they have this internal schizophrenia that's almost like it's psychotic. So I think that's one of the elements. When you talk to a lot of your guests on your show, you talk to eminent economists, and the question always comes up, why are they doing this? It seems like they're shooting themselves in the foot. I'm pretty sure that there's a certain element, you know, of psychosis. I call it almost as if Hank Paulson has become like Colonel Kurtz. He's gone upriver. and he's surrounding himself with bankers, and he's trying to destroy, you know, he's trying to destroy the entire world, and no one can find him, no one can get to him. It's a classic situation, isn't it, when somebody in a democracy assumes dictatorial power. We've seen that before.
Well, it's narcosis. It's narcosis, like when you're diving too deep and you are high as a kite. I mean, it's the same thing, and they're building up a police state to suppress us when they repossess everything. You know, they believe there's a method to their madness, and their argument is, hey, if we can create unlimited paper and buy up all the real assets and then leave the schmucks holding the bag, so what? But the problem is the people aren't buying into what they're saying. Now, I want to go to some calls, but first off, Max Kaiser, and the website's maxkaiser.net.
.com.
Okay, .com. Well, there's a whole bunch of them here then. Well, whose website is .net then?
That's me also. I have .com is where we have all the headlines.
Okay.
.net is we have some information about the organization, but .com are all the headlines where people come to get the daily follow the money headlines.
Fantastic. We've got links to both. Now, I just happen to have the net one in front of me right now. Now, looking at this play out, do you think the establishment was counting on Congress saying no to the bailout, A? B, do you think they'll be successful now with the financial terrorism? During a break, you likened it to the terror alert, and every time Rumsfeld needed money or there was a political problem, they would just declare that Al-Qaeda was about to attack, and the public would buy that for a while until they stopped buying it. I mean, what are they going to do in the short term? Was this a defeat for them, or were they counting on that so they could then throttle the stock market and then get the public to acquiesce to this, to signing on to it?
I think it was a defeat. I think it was a bit surprising. But I also think that, as we've described, they can do pretty much anything they want to the market, and it scares people. And as we were saying, it's just like those terror alert that you used to get. You know, and every time Pentagon wanted more money, they'd hit the red alert, and suddenly there was an alert. Everyone was hiding under their desks, and the Pentagon got a huge new influx of money for their budget. Similarly, they're using the markets in this similar way. You know, you've mentioned it in terms of financial terrorism, et cetera. And I don't think that's far from the actual truth. Based on what I know in terms of how markets can be manipulated, we talked about the policy analysis market for a second, which was that market on terror futures. And the room for abuse for that is incredible, because now you've got people directly profiting from manipulating a market. And then when they take their profits, they can simply say, well, it wasn't us, it was the market. See, that's the tall grass everyone runs into. Every time that there's a crash or something like this, they say, well, it wasn't us, it was the market, and nobody knows the market. That's completely incorrect at this stage of the game. This market, the prices on these stocks, bonds, currencies are being managed. They're being targeted for an effect. If they think that it's going to take a certain percent drop in the Dow Jones to pass this bill, they will get to that price, and they can do so using the technology they have and using the relationships that they have. There is no buy and sell, as that notion is understood in a free market. And, you know, Ron Paul is absolutely right when he says that, to paraphrase, he talks about that the free market is really not at work in the United States. You've got now something that looks like the free market, but it's being operated by people who are using it as a scare tactic. That's clear. I can see that as an expert, if you will, on the technology of markets. I've been involved for 25 years. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that these markets are being manipulated for political ends.
Well, they admit they are, and at the same time, it's more than just insider trading. It's insider regulation. It's the ultimate, and in fact, and I want your take on this, but I would say that this is that the term conflict of interest isn't strong enough for just Henry Paulson alone with Goldman Sachs.
It's a cult. There's a cult. There's a cult of personality. It's not just a conflict of interest. It's like saying that Charles Manson and Squeaky Fromm had a conflict of interest. It's a cult of insiders who worship the market. They believe in something called market fundamentalism, the same way extremist theocrats believe in, you know, religious extremism or fundamentalism. These are market fundamentalists. They believe in the market as this entity that they're willing to do these things in the name of the market, and it's a counterpart to what we see in other areas of the world with what we call religious fanaticism or extremism. These guys are market extremists, and the result is equally damaging.
Well, it takes the term that, you know, markets are based on confidence to a new level where they just say we can commit any crime, break any rule. Meanwhile, I had a congressman on yesterday, Burgess, and a lot of others are saying that the reason they're voting against this the package yesterday was because there is so much insider opportunism going on. And then earlier you just mentioned, you know, the fact that there will be no reserves in this banking, but that's only in a select inner group from the way I read it, because right now they're sending out regulators that are allied to the inner coterie or the inner crime syndicate, and they're feeding on other banks and using their regulators to basically engage in predatory actions against parts of the market that aren't in as much trouble as they're saying. I mean, is there any reality to that?
Yeah, absolutely. The Glass-Steagall Act, as you know, was put up there after the crash of 29. As far as the Securities Act of 33 and 34, the SEC put up the Glass-Steagall Act to separate banks and brokers because they're naturally cannibalistic. Now, under Clinton, actually, the Glass-Steagall was repealed, which gave these banks and brokers the ability to collude again. And what we're seeing now is these rapacious, vampire-like, debt-sucker, black hole banks. They need fresh blood. So they're going after these small deposits, these small banks, and they're going after that, and they're stealing their deposits to help to feed the black hole, to feed their extremist view of the way markets should be active. So anyone who's got money in a bank in the United States, you know, they're being targeted by these guys who want that fresh blood, that fresh cash that is not insured at over $100,000. They want that fresh cash to feed their rapacious debt, you know, spinning, fee-generating model that it just doesn't work. Again, you know, I mean, not to always quote Ron Paul, but he does make some excellent points. As he points out, systemically, the situation is broken. So it doesn't matter how much money you throw at it. If the model is broken, it doesn't make any sense to continue the model. The model has to be revisited or needs to be re-architected so that you have genuine supply and demand.
All right, MaxKaiser.com is the website. Max Kaiser is our guest. I want to get to your phone calls. Rourke, who disagrees, will go to the head of the line, but I've got to ask this question before we go to calls and the time we have left with you today. We got you on a bit late because of phone problems. For that, I apologize to the listeners, but again, you can find out more about our guest at MaxKaiser.com. Max, where is it going? You predicted years before, you know, each bank that was going to go under, you and others were able to see the basic market fundamentals and break that down. Where is it going? What is going to happen? How bad is this depression going to get? How long will this sustain? How do you see things settling out on the other end? Will the architects of this criminal vortex be able to hoax us into positioning themselves as the saviors and setting up a new global government based on banking, a new order where they go around regulating everybody else? I mean, that's what they're saying they want to do. Or will they fall?
Yeah, it depends on the American people. The American people still have it within their means to push back. And I'll give you an interesting something to think about for you and your listeners. Basically, the way what they're fighting the American people with, the ultimate weapon that they use is inflation. Basically, that's the weapon. They're going to inflate the value of your currency down to zero, the U.S. dollar, so that you end up back in the poorhouse where you were and your family were generations ago. So therefore, it stands to reason that the only way to fight inflation is with deflation. Now, I'll give you an example. I suggested this a couple of years ago, and I was immediately smeared by the right-wing press in America, but it was written up by a bank here in Europe, Chevreux Bank, as the ultimate weapon for activists looking to fight back. Think of it this way. If deflation is the only thing that can fight inflation, then why not target your deflation? Why not get together as a community, as an American community, and say, you know what, we've got the power to make these markets reflect our interests. And what you can do, for example, is you look at these stocks, you look at a stock that might be vulnerable to the only weapon that an impoverished person has at their disposal, which is a boycott. It worked for Gandhi. It worked for Martin Luther King Jr. The boycott is the no cost weapon of choice. Is there a company out there that's vulnerable to a boycott en masse, effectively pushing deflation against inflation, or what's called a monopsony versus you're fighting the monopoly.
Well, I agree with the plan. The power of the boycott, of course, is legendary. The problem is we have an alternative media. It's big, it's growing, but it's splintered. We don't have that mass transmission power they have to put out the talking point on every channel. And so how do we communicate an effective boycott? How do we pick an effective boycott target?
I'll give you the motivating force is going to be greed. Let me tell you something to you and your listeners. How would you like to make money using the same tools that they're using against you? Here's what I suggest. If you take a company that's vulnerable, and I'll give you a company, and it's not because they're a bad company. It's because they're vulnerable, although you could make the case that they do bad things. If you take a company like Coca-Cola, for example, it's trading at close to 4 times sales. For every dollar you don't spend at Coke's products, you're going to cut $4 off their market cap. If a sufficient number of people join that boycott, two things happen. Number one, the revenues start to go down. Number two, the same hedge funds that are attacking you and your savings and attacking you and your American dollar are going to attack Coke stock. So you're drawing the same forces of capitalism in your favor.
So it's like putting blood in the water. You draw in bigger sharks to attack the Shamu.
Exactly. And it shows if the American people can take down a $120 billion company just to show that they can, to flex their muscle, to bring deflation against this inflation, they're going to feel mighty good about themselves. It's like the Boston Tea Party. No taxation without representation.
All right, Max Kaiser, stay there. I'm Alex Jones. We're going to Rourke, Rob, Alex, Sonny, Tony. Our guest is going to stay with us 20 minutes to the next hour, roughly. You can learn more from folks like Max Kaiser by visiting Infowars.com. We bring you the best guests, people that have accurately predicted what's happening, and they talk about the real market architecture. It is fraud by design. It is not free market. It is a dog and pony show of the greatest degree. It is an illusion. And before he leaves us, I'm going to challenge him to really get into how bad he thinks it's going to get, how he predicts it will play out. Because we haven't seen anything yet. But I want to go to your calls right now. Let's talk to Rourke in Texas. He's the last caller in line, but he goes to the head of the line because he disagrees. Go ahead, Rourke. You're on the air.
Hello, Alex. Hello, Max. Yes, I called in today because I believe money is a trick. I believe the economic ideologies that exist are tricks, and I believe that communism, socialism, and capitalism are degrees of fascism, and I believe the solution is a free free market, but money is control, and so I think an even freer solution is that of a free manufacturing base.
Yeah, but you've called before, and then you don't really flesh out your idea. Nothing is, quote, free. Someone has to take their time and energy to build it, and then they're going to have to sell something to pay for it.
Well, if there's no money, there wouldn't be any need to
sell it. Yeah, and we go back to the Stone Age, sir. That's why they invented...
No.
I can't talk to you. I appreciate your call.
Yeah, I'll give you an insight into that, if I might.
Okay, go ahead.
If you look at what's happening in the open source movement with software, that has really, Linus Torvald in North Europe, of course, and Linux, gave rise to this whole idea of free software, and Richard Stallman, the free software movement. And it really is a worthwhile economic model to have free software distributed freely. Certainly Google is a huge multi-billion dollar company giving away free information effectively that is contributed to them by others. So this is an interesting period in history because of the frictionless nature of the Internet, you can have what are called increased return economics, where you're getting back something actually using free labor.
Well, let's be clear. I'm not saying that you can't have barter with information technology systems, that doesn't accelerate it. But he's called in and said, you need to build a factory and not charge for what comes out the end of it. So, and I mean, that guy's called before, and I've talked to him, and I'm not going to be mean.
It's a dude. Read about Richard Stallman and then call back. I mean, to your caller. That would be my
suggestion. What I'm saying is money can be manipulated, and it does become a lie, but money, whether it's tally sticks or gold coins, You know, you need to have some symbol of exchange, because in a complex society, you've got to have ways of you know, greasing the skids of the market, or it would be Stone Age overnight.
Yeah, you need a means of exchange, okay? No question about it, for the exchange of goods and services, and money fulfills that role. And there's a way to manage it so that, you know, it's not being abused the way it is now. Unfortunately, in the U.S., because of the way it's set up, you end up with those who are in the money business co-opting the political process, so that the political process makes it easier to be in the money business. And that's unfortunately now at a point where the money business is the only business in America, really. It's the predominant
exactly.
business.
The fiat made up smoke and mirrors banking system is gobbling and eating up the entire real economy. And when we come back, I want to get your take in 1 minute on, well, let me start now. Where do you see this going?
Well, it's. I think, you know, you're talking about an inflationary depression. So you're going to talk about unemployment going back up to, you know, 10, 15, 20, 20%. If you look at the unadjusted numbers, the unemployment in America is already over 10%, the real number. You're looking for that to double.
All right, stay there. We'll be back in 70 seconds with Max Kaiser.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Taking your phone calls for the next 20 minutes for Max Kaiser. Website's maxkaiser.com. He is the inventor of virtual specialist technology, prediction markets, Hollywood Stock Exchange. He has a TV program and produces films for Al Jazeera English, writes for the Huffington Post. It goes on and on. Hosts two different radio programs, and he's our guest here today. We really appreciate his time. You were finishing up with, in the short term and then midterm, long term, how you see things unfolding, and I'd like to also ask you, how do you see the architects of this banking hologram, this fraud, how do you see them responding? What do you see them doing?
Another quick note here, in terms of virtual money, it's very interesting, the tail wagging the dog. You know that on Intrade, which is a virtual market, the contract for the probability of the bailout packaging failing in Congress 2 days before it failed crashed. So the insiders, and inside information is legal on Intrade, were trading and making bets that the contract would crash. Now, with that knowledge, of course, if you applied it to the S&P futures contract in New York and you went short the market yesterday, you would have made a killing. So here you have virtual markets, virtual money, based on aggregating opinions, generating a price signal, which is getting people in New York and Chicago and around the world to actually buy S&P futures and make a ton of money based on virtual money. So that's how we're at in this phase of capitalism, where it's all virtual money and there's no underlying there. You can still make tons of it based on reading these virtual markets and virtual currencies.
And you've just got to take the virtual money before the market implodes, and you've got to get into real assets, you know, land.
The smart money is obviously buying gold and silver, because it's completely scarce. You know, you can't go buy gold and silver these days at the spot price, because the market is exploding. The paper price, which is on the futures exchange, is a manipulated price. That's another purely manipulated market.
And how long until...
It's so shockingly manipulated that it's one of the worst cases of manipulation in the silver market that I have seen, with naked short selling and the whole works, in 25 years of looking at markets being manipulated. The silver market is by far the most egregious example of market manipulation I've ever seen.
But that's what I was going to ask you next, is we have this war between the fiat hologram of the bankers, what they say on paper, gold and silver and copper and other things are worth, these commodities, versus what they are in the real economy, where they're becoming extremely scarce. Who's going to win that fight?
Let me give you my prognosis, okay? I have a term which I call neo-feudalism. In other words, we're going back to lords and serfs.
Oh, yes, I like that term.
Okay, so when this is all over, you're going to have, you know, those with a ton of money in their vaults, gold and silver, land, whatever, and the private army mercenaries, you know, Blackwater and the crew are going to be moving into America soon. You know, their battle-hardened troops are going to be in the U.S. went to patrol the streets again.
By the way, that's already been announced by the Army Times, regular Army. It said, for the American people.
Yeah, so that's completely...
We are now the enemy of NORTHCOM, declared enemies, yes.
How can you get any more against the Constitution than that? anyone who... Anyway, so you've got the standing army now in the U.S. is going to be patrolling the streets. So you've got these, basically, it's an aristocrats. You've got lords. The only reason we have a middle class, Alex, to begin with, the only reason you and I exist to begin with is because 400 years ago, during the bubonic plague, the aristocrats started to pay more for people to come manage their estates.
Because there weren't as many people, because for the first time, there was not a glut of human labor.
Exactly. And that was the beginning of the middle class. And it morphed from there to what we call, you know, the American dream, was the ultimate middle class, people.
And they knew they had to get rid of the manufacturing base and other things to economically convert back to neo-serfdom, neo-feudalism. And, man, I tell you, Max Kaiser, we got to get you on a lot more. Let's come back. I just could have you on for the whole show, but we've got to get to some of these phone calls on the other side. I agree with you. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be the police enforcers, starving slaves being euthanized, and the global rulers.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Max Kaiser's our guest, TV host over in Europe, radio host. And we're going to be taking your phone calls, well, right now. Rob in Missouri. You're on the air, Rob. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex.
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, first of all, Terror Storm in game, awesome.
Thank you.
I'll tell you, I'm a 46-year-old male. Used to think of myself as macho, but now married with kids. You're my hero. I mean, for somebody, you're the John Wayne of the future, I'll tell you.
Oh, come on, man. Hey, I want to state something here. Because what happens is I get idolized, or a Max Kaiser does, or a Ron Paul does, and then we think, oh, he's handling it, they're there, it's extraordinary to be fighting this. I don't want to be a serf and a slave. Let me just say something, and then I'm going to let you talk. You've been holding a while, but let me just say this, and I'm not mad at you praising me, and I appreciate it, it makes me work hard. But the bottom line is this. What Max Kaiser just said, they plan to make us total serfs with a boot on our throat, every facet of our lives manufactured through the government system. This is stated. I am angry and threatened by that. I am fighting through self-serving reasons because I don't want to be a slave. So I want to just get this straight to everybody out there. What I'm doing is the minimum, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, because I went and witnessed Marines training to take our guns and put us in FEMA camps in the late 1990s. This is a long-term plan. They have planned all of this. But go ahead and make your point.
Well, the point is the nation and the people nowadays, Alex, you are an inspiration because the people are so dumbed down. To find people to actually be able to communicate with now is unbelievable. But let me get to the point. We got $770 billion they're wanting to give away to these gangsters just to pay off their own debts and to keep themselves...
And then they lie and say, oh, it's not really money, it's going to make money. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it has nothing to do with anything. That's just to cover their own tails. But, you know, if you took that $770 billion divided by, let's just say there's 200 million people over 18 years of age, divide that up amongst them, give it to them. I don't know what the figure is. I think it's like $300,000 or something. Let everybody pay off their mortgages. Let everybody go buy new cars. Let's put it into the economy on a positive way. And like you had the money bomb, you know, for the shows earlier, if we could get a money bomb put together just for billboards, just for all the listeners of InfoWars and the Alex Jones Show, to get down in their pocket, to know what's coming down the pike, to know that they're going to take all your money. Let's get something positive. Let's get the billboards up that says what the $770 billion to do for 200 million American adults over the age of 18. And let's get InfoWars on the bottom of those, and let's just plague the thing. I think it's not too late to do it if all it right. could be done.
Rob, I appreciate your call. Let me just say this and then get back to our guest, Max Kaiser, maxkaiser.com. We did a money bomb because somebody already started one and just did it, separate from me, so I said, okay, I'll support it. Now I've been hustling in the last 4 months to get a bigger office. I was already planning it, you know, to build a better TV studio and radio studio, and I'm trying to deal with people building it and with bids and all that. So I'm not that big an organization. If I tried to raise a couple million dollars, probably what we'd raise, buy some billboards, as a drop in the bucket. That's old media. The power of you, the listener, taking action, telling people about the show on AM or FM or shortwave or internet or satellite, the power of you calling into talk shows. See, people are thinking centralized. They're thinking about going to Alex Jones, and that's fine. But the point is, it's about all of us taking action in little ways every day and having your voice heard now. We don't have time to launch a money bomb, raise the money, put billboards up. I'm not bashing that idea, and certainly we need support. Buy the books, buy the videos, support our sponsors, and then we can do more. But I don't think that I'm the center of the universe in this fight. It's all of us together in a freedom movement, a reality movement against the false reality movement, the hologram, Max Kaiser.
You know, Warren Buffett just 2 years ago warned that America was going to become a nation of sharecroppers. He said that publicly. What does that mean? Indentured servitude. Here's the richest guy in the world, the richest guy in the United States, admitted, saying openly, America will become a nation of sharecroppers. He also said that he expects in a few years Americans to be paying income tax to Uncle Sam and to China. Now, that's Warren Buffett. That's not Alex Jones or Max Kaiser. That's Warren Buffett, who's on the cover of Fortune magazine every few weeks. You know, he's a very respected guy. He's one of the guys architecting this so-called bailout. He himself has said, American to become a nation of sharecroppers.
And let's be clear. He is one of the kingpins organizing and running this, and then he tells you like he cares about you, but really he's just letting you know. Because they don't want private capital. They don't want a middle class. They are, and I want the cops to know this, the cops and the military. The reason you've been given black masks and trained to hate us and tasers is you are going to be there to help destroy your own country. Max Kaiser, what would you say to the functionaries who are having trouble getting their mind around this? What would you say to them?
Well, unfortunately, you know, we've had 20 years of a bull market that everyone has become frightened to death of losing their money that they've accumulated, and they are unwilling to see a bigger picture. And Americans, from what I can tell, have lost touch with the struggle that came before this recent generation. And it looks like they're going to lose it. They're going to lose it all. And they're going to go back, you know, it's like that game of slides and ladders. You know, this is a huge slide all the way back to the beginning. You know, the idea of rebuilding the country from scratch and getting those rights. You know, it was recently said that let these banks collapse. Just let the banks collapse. You know, every American is going to, if they let the banks collapse, they might be broke, but if they still have their freedoms, if they still have their liberty, they've got everything they need to rebuild the economy from scratch and have a brilliant economy. They happened in 1907. There was a huge
Instead, we're being held hostage by the very institutions that engineered this, saying, now give us everything and sign on to this and make us kings or you're going to lose it, when they're the ones that have set it up. And what you said is so key. McCain, Obama, all of them on TV are saying the same thing, both parties. They're saying the banks pay the payroll. The banks open the Sonic hamburgers up. If it wasn't for the banks, you wouldn't have a pot, you know, to piss in or a window to throw it out of. They're literally saying that as if the banks are everything. And you're absolutely right. We need these parasites off our backs now, and it's going to be tough. But if we give in to them, it's over.
Okay, you go down to the grocery store in the last 2 or 3 years, the prices are skyrocketing. Price of gas is skyrocketing. In Atlanta, half the gas stations are closed. It's one of the top 10 biggest cities in America. The bankers are destroying the country. You know, they're trying to hypnotize people into thinking that they've got the answer. But again, the message to anyone in the U.S. should be, let the banks fail. We can take it. We can take the punch. You know, take the punch and let them rebuild from scratch. But if you give us this money and you take away our freedoms, we're going to end up with no money and no freedom.
Well, they did a good job. I talked to, again, several congressmen on and off air, and they said that they were getting about 2,000 phone calls for every 3 or 4 or 5 calls for the scam out, for the stick-up job. And I guess in the final equation, you know, that's the good news. They said no then, but then the bankers slammed it down. The biggest one-day loss in history for the stock market, $1.2 plus trillion. And do you think the public will buckle? Or McCain was talking about today, just the Treasury ignoring Congress and the people and doing it with some mechanisms they've got.
Unfortunately, the rights of the U.S. citizens have been systematically stripped. You know, the Patriot Act has many items in there. The U.S., I have a prediction, a running prediction right now. I kind of feel that this election in November is going to be postponed because of this financial crisis. And that, therefore, because Bush has the ability under the, I forget which rule it is, I think you actually know that...
PDD 51.
Right, exactly. He gives him the ability, under any circumstance, to declare what is effectively martial law. Now, if, in fact, this bailout does not go through, I kind of thought today what was going to happen is that they were going to, the market was going to crash around the world, and then Bush would come out and say, we're going to enact that rule, and I'm going to make the bailout go through myself, George Bush, right now, because I think you need it. And in that case, it's game over. It's like 1931, and Hitler just took power. And citing the threat of a financial collapse like Hitler cited the threat of communists. It's completely manipulated.
Absolutely. Let's jam in a final call or two. Scott in Arizona, quickly, for our guest. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with him 100%. I believe that, in my gut, like I've said before, I believe that Bush is not coming out, and I believe that even if we go through with this bailout, it's only going to last a few days, and they're going to bring us down, and everybody's going to start kicking our currency around the world, which is going to then come to the next crisis where they're going to say, you know, the bailout didn't work. Instead of having another bailout, we need the new currency while we're losing our freedoms. They've got everything they want. I do believe that the elections will be suspended. I've been filling out for a long time, so I think he's right on the money on
Well,
that.
I don't know why Army Times is reporting Northcom activating against the American people. And, you know, they declared martial law in Congress Monday and Sunday. I mean, it's just getting crazier and crazier very quickly. Tony in Chicago, last caller. Our guest is leaving us in 1 minute.
Hey, Alex. He's right. You know, in 2004, there was an article in the Trib about how in the Virgin Islands, there's enough dummy corporations there to have every person who lives in the Virgin Islands their own dummy corporation. I think two dummy corporations is how the article went. This is no surprise. I live in the Chicago prison grid, and we are completely foreclosed upon. But America, you just got to be ready. It's time for blood, and I'm ready to shed it.
And by the way, cops, while you're busy taking people's houses, your grandma's going to be starving to death. It's probably going to get that bad in a few years down the road. When do you see this implosion peaking? 2-3 years from now, Max?
Well, I don't think you're talking about a 24-hour cable station playing old Ronald Reagan speeches as the only thing left in what was once called America. It's just going to be Mexico and Canada meeting somewhere in New Mexico. There's not going to be anything left.
I know somebody worth like $6 billion, and they left the country a year ago saying, quote, it won't be here.
I get emails every day. I feel like Harriet Tubman, you know, the old getting the slaves out of the South, the Underground Railway. I get every day emails saying, how do I get out of the country? How do I escape? I need to escape. How do I escape?
Oh, Max Kaiser. We are here live bringing you the best guests and information Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Time. I do an abbreviated Sunday transmission from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time as well. I haven't had Dr. Paul Craig Roberts on about 8 months. Not Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, Colonel Craig Roberts. We have Dr. Paul Craig Roberts on every week. And he's coming up in the next segment. Talk about the police state, New World Order. Now, he's still in the Army, so he doesn't be careful about what he says. I don't know, he might have just retired. I forget. The point is, he's coming on the show next, and we'll talk about a whole bunch of things. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the bankers are going to hurt us so bad. And they're not done. And they're going to hurt you, military. They're going to hurt you, police. And you'll figure that out later when you're not roid-head 22-year-olds. And a lot of you have already figured it out. And if we just say, no, this may not happen. We may be able to actually turn this around. But it doesn't look good. Things look better, but still, we're not in a good spot. People are waking up, but the globalists can terrorize the public into almost anything. I hope to be pleasantly surprised, but they're going to try to get no more fractional reserve banking, just unlimited lending to whoever they want, fiat in our name, total immunity for all their crimes. It's just unspeakable. And I want to bring Ted up just for the rest of this segment, about 4 minutes we got left, and then Colonel Craig Roberts is scheduled to be joining us, talk about a host of issues and continue taking your phone calls. And then we have Tommy Chung popping in on the whole fake drug war, New World Order system. Let's go ahead and go to Ted Anderson. Ted, the people said no, but then the president badmouthed the stock market down to its biggest loss in one day ever, $1.2 trillion plus. And the media is talking about how wonderful he is and how wonderful McCain and Barack Obama are. So you have all the mainstream media and both parties' leadership saying the people are bad, saying the Congress are bad, saying everything's our fault, when they are the ones that control the plunge protection team, and they're the ones that clearly drove the market down yesterday. This is just too rich.
It is. There's an awful lot of manipulation going on, and the president right now is trying to pitch this thing. I was looking at a picture of Bernanke and Bush and the Paulson.
You mean Mr. Malarkey Bernanke?
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, they're just all lined up together, and I thought, you know, I don't think Bush should be standing in amongst those people. I mean, you're talking about doing political suicide. Of course, he's not going to be voted in again.
No, he's a hero to the globalists, bringing America down. I mean, that's been his job, fooling conservatives just long enough to slit their throats. I mean, he's a rock star to the New World Order.
He sure is, Alex, and he definitely wants to sell this company out, this country out. I mean, there is so much going on in the marketplace right now. There is absolutely no reason for Congress to come to a consensus and agree on this bailout.
But by the way, Ted, you're right. This is a globalist corporate takeover of the U.S. They bankrupted us by design, and are now sending in their brainwashed police.
They are, and they want us to bail out not only companies that are located here in the United States. They wanted us to bail out the foreign companies as well. I mean, right now, this is nuts.
And they've been pushing this line of bull that we're going to make money from this. That bill sets the precedent for them to spend any amount of money they want. It isn't about $700 billion.
And it's going to be like that. It's going to be like the Patriot Act. You know, they're going to continue it'll come to its expiration date, and they'll forward it further, and they'll forward it further, and it's just going to become a regular way of life that the United States government is going to continue to bail out these companies with our money.
But it's not a bailout. Again, now they're calling it a rescue package. What it is kicking the trigger to drop the gallows and drop the American people through and snap our little necks. Ted, tell folks about the gold and silver offer you've got. You've got it again at below what it's trading for today, an insane deal. You heard our last guest on saying you're nuts if you don't get into precious metals.
Well, that's exactly right, Alex, and I do. I still have the dimes. They're trading at a 160 right now. I've got British sovereigns at 241. And I got to tell you right now, the supply is not very, you know, there's not a whole lot of gold or silver out there anymore physically. It's just gone. The francs right now are at 196. Alex, the market is so hot.
No. He was saying, and this is one of the top, you know, presenters on international TV, he was talking about how people cannot get it at spot right now.
No, they can't. They just can't do that because the problem is the physical market is so short in supply. You just can't get enough of the material to sell. And when we talked about it last time on the radio, we filled up every telephone line we had with people wanting to buy this stuff. Thank God. People are getting this stuff in their hands. It's going to be one of the few things that they can hold on to that's going to hold value.
Ted, give them the offer. Fire out the number.
Okay. It's British sovereigns. They're at 241. The francs are at 196. The dimes are at $1.60. You can call us at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237. Get gold and silver. Get it in your hands now. You need it. There is no question about it. You have to get into it and get into it now. Get away from
paper. Tell you what, stay there, Ted. I want to go over a few of the market numbers we're seeing right now when we get back. And then Colonel Craig Roberts, my good buddy, will be joining us for an hour. Then Tommy Chung. So stay with us.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been sauntered up, beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run in. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Old Hickory said we could take them by surprise. If we didn't fire a musket, still we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we see their faces well. Then we opened up our squirrel guns and really gave them well. We fired our guns.
We're back live, finishing with Ted Anderson, and it's the next hour.
There was a while ago.
We're going to have Colonel Craig Roberts, who I really appreciate coming on, because he was active duty Marine Corps 5 years in Vietnam for several tours, highly decorated. And then, of course, he's a best-selling author. On sniping and so many other issues. I mean, New York Times bestseller, millions of books in print. He, of course, was on the Tulsa Police Department, SWAT team, helicopter pilot, he's done it all. And he also investigated the Oklahoma City bombing, helped expose that as an inside job. So much of his investigations have now been mainstream news about the Southern Poverty Law Center, basically running the white supremacist compound. I mean, running it. Forget infiltrating, running the thing, as they always do when we catch them. So he's here to talk about police, because I've had the Austin police chief on this show say he's not going along with the New World Order. I've had police come into stores when I'm in there and say, look, you know, we're with you. We know you're right about this stuff now. I've got tons of contacts, people around the country. We have events, you know, like in 9/11 in New York, police give us thumbs up. The majority of them, 5 years ago, they would trip us and threaten to arrest us. And so there's been a mass awakening. And so I want to talk to him as a police officer, as a sniper, as a retired lieutenant colonel in the Army, somebody who worked in Army intelligence, on a whole host of issues. As everything we said, he's had a syndicated radio show in a previous incarnation as well. He's talked about so much. Of course, he knew about the New World Order before, but then he had a death experience. He died on the operating table and then came back, and just amazing stuff that Colonel Roberts has seen and a witness. So he's with us, and I want to move quick with him because there's so much to cover. But before we go to Colonel Roberts and some of your calls, finishing up, Ted, I had that market expert on last hour and into this hour talking about how they're massively trying to manipulate pumping the stock market back up today because their economic terrorism didn't work yesterday with a trillion plus drop. And they're also trying to hammer and manipulate gold. But again, it's only going to shoot back up. Still up over $100 from what it was 2 weeks ago. It went above 900 yesterday. Every time they push the beach ball into the water, it only pops up with that much more fury. So you've made another big buy of gold and silver so you can translate these discounts to people. Folks, use this as a buying opportunity. Don't wait any longer with your paper in these banks. It is not safe. The annuities are not insured. Ted?
Yeah, you bet it's going on right now. The banks are trying to prop the market up, the precious metals. That's like their vital enemy. You know, they need to push it down and they need to keep people in the paper, but it's not working, like you said. There is just simply not enough money. There's not enough gold and silver out there to manipulate like that. And that's why we've seen that $80 increase just boom, just like that when the banks started failing last time. And now we have the same situation going on right now. McCain and President Bush and all these dignitaries are trying to tell us that we need to stick all this money into these companies. That's the wrong thing to do all the way around. And everybody knows it, and the constituents of all these congressmen are getting hurt, and we better keep calling them.
Absolutely. Folks should use this opportunity, though, because we can't control things fully what's happening. Tell them we don't want the scam. We don't want total liability protection and all of this to be given to these crooks. Do that, but also protect yourselves. Ted, give them briefly the gold offer and silver offer today.
Again, British sovereigns, you can't beat it. It's 241 francs, 196. Silver is in such short supply. I can't even get the walkers right now. I'm with the dimes at this point. They're at $1.60. I just can't say it enough. You got to get into the gold and silver market. If you're sitting there with money in the bank and you got the money in the stocks or you have annuities or whatever it is, I mean, all that stuff is at high risk with all this this manipulation that's going on and the political environment, the companies that are failing around us. You know, now is the time to move. Prices are low. I mean, gold could be $3,000 an ounce just adjusted for inflation. Silver about $100, maybe even $300, you know. There's a lot of good reasons to be getting into the gold and silver market at this time. There's no excuse for you not to move.
Absolutely. Let me give people the phone number. It's 1-800-686-2237. Do not wait, ladies and gentlemen. 800-686-2237. Ted, thanks for popping in.
Yeah, you bet, Alex.
Take care. Okay, I don't want to cut into any more of his time. Colonel Craig Roberts, you want to take what's happening with the economy first? We talked about years ago, the globalists were engineering for control. They're proposing a world banking government run by them after they engineered it as the new savior to all of this. You want to talk about the police and military, NORTHCOM announcing that they are going to engage in domestic operations for civil unrest with regular army brigades, everything we warn people about, the federal police force. I mean, what do you want to tackle first?
Well, let's hit the economy first and get that out of the way, Alex.
It's good to have you here, my friend. Yeah, break that down.
Okay. You know, we talked about this a long time ago. If you look at this differently, you have to understand there is no money in the stock market. The stock market doesn't have a dime. The money is either in the corporations or in the shares of those corporations that you and I own as stockholders. And it's when we go in and buy and sell, it creates situations where people look at that and they go, you know what? I better get out of this. This looks really bad. And they panic and they start dumping stocks and it drives the stock market down and so on and so forth. And when you go in and you start tearing out the economic base of these banks and loan companies and these mortgage things, that only throws, you know, gas on the fire. And then we end up with the situation we've got now. Well, that's looking at it from one door, but let's walk around the other side of the house and open the other door and look in and see what's really going on from a different view that no one seems to be discussing right now. I look at it at a military aspect, and the military aspect is if you're going to destroy a country, there's several things you can do, several things you have to do. You can't just march in with troops and start shooting. That's not going to work. If the country has the will to fight, you're going to lose. You have to destroy the will of that country to fight. You have to destroy the motivation for people in that country to do anything. You have to take away the reconnaissance. You have to take away their eyes by using the media to tell them, don't worry about anything. Sit on the couch, open another six-pack, and watch the ball game. Shut up, stay out of the way. The government will take care of you. And so people take their antenna down, they fold up the radar set and put it away, and then they sit there and let this sort of thing happen. You'd have to destroy the morale of a country. You have to destroy the morals of a country. You have to create a hopeless situation to where the people won't rally around anything central or anything big. And then you have to cut off the logistics to that country by moving the industrial base away from that country, move it out of the country, send it overseas, send the jobs overseas. You have to dumb down the education of the children so as they get older, they don't see that there's anything going wrong and that the government is always right. Then you have to remove the barriers, tear down the walls, and open the borders to allow anybody to come in that wants to come in and bring all the crime, all the drugs, anything else they want to reinforce your total battle plan.
And that weighs down the states and bankrupts them.
And all of this stuff creates a situation where the government has to use money out of your pocket to solve the problem. It's the old Hegelian effect all over again. So all of these things attack us at once. We don't know which window of the cabin to run to shoot out of. We're sitting here going, man, I don't know what to do. Maybe I ought to just buy a boat and go to Costa Rica. Maybe I ought to just get a whole bunch of food and lock all my doors and stay here till this thing blows over. Maybe I ought to just plant a garden, you know. And then we start studying, especially the baby boomer generation. They're looking at this. They've already been through some of this stuff before, and they're looking at this stuff now in their 60s and 70s going, my retirement's going out the window. I can't get a job. I'm too old to do that. I can't support myself and my family. How am I going to survive? And if the government collapses, if I've got a government pension or Social Security, I'm not even going to get that. So now what do I do? So we end up being Europe in 1943 when countries are being invaded and the refugees are beginning to leave. It's that same mental aspect of population panic. And that's all programmed. This stuff does not happen by accident. This stuff happens because it's set up years and years in advance as part of a total plan to do something. And one of the things they've failed at so far, they haven't completely failed, but they've partially failed, you can't turn the peasants into slaves unless you disarm them. Well, the Clinton administration spent 8 years trying to reduce our firepower. They couldn't totally disarm us on the Second Amendment, but they tried to reduce our firepower, said, you know, you can only have a magazine that's 10 rounds or less, you can't have this on your gun, it can't be ugly and black, and blah, blah, blah.
But that only raised alarm flags, so people armed up even more.
It backfired. It backfired so big they didn't realize what they had done. They pushed the wrong kind of people. They had underestimated the basic mainstream American mentality that's inbred in us all the way from the Pilgrims up, and that is people ran down. They started buying up every piece of ammunition they could get. They bought every gun they could afford. They started they did panic buying because they didn't want to, instead of sitting there like the Australians and the Canadians and the Brits and roll over and say, here's my guns, you can roll over them with a street roller, people bought more guns and they hid them. I mean, they probably sold more PVC pipe. And
because in the first 200 years of this country, it was a barbaric frontier warfare nation, and only the strong could survive. And so even if we're fat, dumb, and happy, those original genetics and those original information was carried on.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you can find examples throughout American history when there wasn't really a lot going on, but all of a sudden everybody just rallied around a situation. You're sitting right there next to the Alamo. You know, the Alamo was a classic example of people rallying and you know, with single-shot muskets holding off an entire army of well-trained soldiers. You've got other situations that cropped up through American history where people just, within a moment's notice, all of a sudden became a militia or all of a sudden became an army in their own right and were able to defeat superior odds with motivation and courage and just plain, you know, guts. And so we still have that in us today. We still look back at our ancestors and see what they did. You know, I mean, I look at stuff like the Civil War. And on both sides of the Civil War, we could not fight that war today. Our army, Alex, could not fight the Civil War today with the conditions they went through, with the equipment they had. They're not tough enough. I know. I was in it long enough. You look at the Battle of Gettysburg alone. In July, it was hot, and the Union Army made contact with the Confederate Army, who had been forging up north and was coming back south at Gettysburg. They made contact with the lead elements, and they had 30 miles of troops strung out down the road with hot, full sleeve wool uniforms in the middle of July, carrying packs full of all their gear, big heavy muskets, bayonets, canteens, a whole bit, and ordered them to run to the battle. And these people ran for miles. A lot of them had to dump their packs, and the farmers stole them, so they didn't have food when they got there. But the bottom line was, they ran all the way to the battle, and then they fought the battle when they got there. Our guys would have dropped out along the road today. I hate to say that, but we're just not geared for that. We're geared more to jump on the Humvee, jump on the tank, you know, ride as far as we can, get on the helicopter, then fight door to door, but not do the long infantry type battles that they had in those days. That can change out of necessity. But today, it's a totally different scenario. Even though we look back and we said, they did it, we can do it too. We're not ready to do it, but we could do it if we had to. Now, when we take all of these things, what they've really done here, here's what the New World Order pukes have really done. They have created an enemy at the gate. And they've now they're starting to open the door to let the enemy in. And if you don't have a problem, of course, you're not going to have a solution. Well, the solution is to destroy the economy more, to do these massive bailouts, to spend more money. Look how much money they spent on the war on drugs, and all it's done is got the drug importation has gotten more and more every year. Look how much they spent on the border, and it's done, and it's doing less every year than it ever did before. It doesn't matter what it is. They spend money, but it doesn't do any good because it's not being spent in the right places and then led by the right people and supervised by the right people. So basically what it is, it's creating more of a debt, and the debt is one thing. And as the Rothschilds said back in Europe in 1773, they said, debt is power. I care not who wins on either side of a conflict. If I loan money to both sides, in the end, they are both in my debt, and I control them on both sides. And that's what the Rothschild plan was back then, and it still works today.
And so let's talk about what they're planning to do now, and then the wild card, because the police and military, look at Ron Paul getting 73% of all the Republican donations and outweighing even Obama's donations from the military. That sends the signal that the military is with the people.
Well, yeah, the military is, by and large. You know, you're not going to have it. And this is there's a plan A and a plan B at work here. The plan A is the morons behind this thing sit in their little ivory towers and their little, you know, oak panel rooms, and they come up with all these grandiose plans, and they base everything on the good old boy tie and their bank account and who they know and so on and so forth. But they really don't know what's going on beyond the Alleghenies. and they don't see, they don't take anything as a genuine threat. You know, when I testified before Congress and on April the 5th of 1995, I mentioned to those guys, I said, look, I said, all the Second Amendment stuff you guys are pulling, what it's doing is it's making a lot of people real nervous out in the, you know, the main part of the rest of the country in flyover land, and they're actually forming militias to resist the government to come in and take away their guns. And they looked at me and said, there's no such thing as any militias out there. This is in 1995. That's how insulated these people are. So when they don't believe, even if they get the intelligence reports that there's a huge movement in this country of sympathy in a certain direction, they don't believe it. They believe the New York Times poll. They believe CNN polls. That, you know, that's what they look at. They don't listen to you and me. And so what's happening is they don't understand that the military has swung more and more and more to the right and conservative and patriotic, but more and more distrustful of the government. And it was the same way when I was in Vietnam. You know, I would fight for my country, and I would fight for the guys that I was with, but I hated LBJ, and I hated everything he stood for. So when I got home, I was totally opposite of what the in-place government wanted at that time.
So the military and police are buying that Bush was a fake right wing, and it was all staged, and that's what the intel I'm getting. What are you hearing from your military contacts and your police contacts?
Well, on the military side of the house, there's more and more guys who are just saying, you know, it looks like there's going to be a situation at home where we're going to have to do something to survive this thing, and our loyalties are going to be to our families and our communities. It doesn't matter. You can take the a brigade from the 82nd Airborne, and you can send them to, you know, some town in the United States and say, maintain order. They'll maintain order. But when you tell them these are the enemies of the nation, and anybody that resists, shoot them, guess what? You're going to have problems. I wouldn't want to be the officer that gave that order, because I might see a bunch of M4s turned around in my direction. So I don't think that plan's going to work. The idiots in Washington don't realize that. The idiots in New York City at the UN don't realize that. They think they can make that work. Here's the other side of that coin. They have a backup plan. And just like we talked about before, when General Barry McGaffrey gave the graduation speech to a CASQ class in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas several years ago, he used the term, and he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Stay there. Let's hear about their backup plan and how this is going to flesh out, and then talk about the police, because, of course, you've been a police officer, SWAT team guy, helicopter pilot in the police department, done a lot of detective work, and, of course, in the Army and intelligence before that, in the Marines. So you know all these people. We'll talk about it.
Ira Hayes, call him drunken Ira Hayes, he will answer anymore, not the whiskey drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war.
Okay, Colonel Craig Roberts is our guest. We're getting into the military and police. Everything, you see, all these people, like Colonel Roberts himself, going back over a decade ago with the syndicated talk show, myself, countless others, warned everybody, laid out what was going to happen. People laughed at us. The ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center lied and tried to demonize people that warned about it. The media tried to do it. But now it's become mainstream. Now it's become just massively mainstream, and the public is now learning about it, and our credibility has shot up. Continue, Colonel Roberts.
Okay, now we were talking about what Plan B was. If our American military doesn't go to, beyond a certain point in enforcing any type of martial law that may be declared, we had this General Barry McGaffrey, who was at that time, I think he was commander of Southcom, and he was at the CASQ graduation of officers in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. That's a course you take before you go to the Command General Staff College. And during his speech, he said that because of the build down of American armed forces, should we be committed to any two fronts overseas? And he didn't say that Korea was a front, but we're already committed in South Korea. Now we were committed in Iraq, and now we're committed in Afghanistan. So there's actually three fronts. And he said that if this should happen, then if we had an emergency situation in the United States that required military intervention, that we would be required or have to call upon foreign assets to patrol our streets. Now, foreign assets, obviously, are foreign troops. Now, we take this and we throw one other thing into the mix, and that's the fact that the Clintons destroyed the military when they were in. They wore out what was left after Desert Storm. They took away the money for maintenance of all of our equipment, airplanes and ships, and then they closed down military bases right and left. And then Bush Jr. comes along, and we end up committed in Iran and Iraq and South Korea and other places around the world to where we stretched the military so thin. Now we've had to use up the Army Reserve, the Air Force Reserve, the Army National Guard, and so on. We're wearing out the troops that normally would be here as a last resort, and they're being deployed over and over overseas, so there's no one at home to watch the chickens. With that being the case, they're wanting to bring Army brigades back in case of a civil disturbance, civil unrest, whatever, rioting in the streets at the election. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. To use them in case, just like they had to use the 82nd Airborne in Washington, D.C. back in the 60s. If they don't do whatever has to be done, in other words, if people take up arms for whatever reason and they don't do that, then they're going to call upon these foreign assets, and we're going to end up with blue helmets creating a target-rich environment out here for everybody that's got a gun. I think that's where this thing's going. I think it's been set up for a long time. It's not going to surprise me if that happens, and I know the police and the military both are looking at this as a very realistic possibility.
Well, let's talk about that, but look at the conditioning. UN troops over the last decade helping with forest fires, then Mexican troops helping in New Orleans, Dutch troops, Dutch AWACS, Dutch F-16s used to patrol the U.S. like we didn't have the forces, are named demonized worldwide. Now, earlier this year, without Congress's approval, NORTHCOM signs a deal with Mexico and Canada to, quote, use their troops here during domestic disturbances or terror attacks. So this is all being prepared, and we're going into global receivership, and that is Plan B, which will fail as well. And listen, the New World Order failed a big test. They thought they could get their bailout yesterday. That failed, so they plunged the market $1,200,000,000. It's just amazing. Okay, we will be right back, ladies and gentlemen, in 1 minute. All right, we've got Colonel Craig Roberts with us. Again, 5 years in the Marine Corps. Also in Vietnam, highly decorated sniper, best-selling author on that subject and many others. We'll give you his website before he leaves us. We just went live on PrisonPlanet.tv. Tommy Chung to talk about the police state and the phony drug war will be joining us in 30 minutes. I knew about this about a week ago, and Ventura, after he told me, said, "Now, don't tell anybody." And I said, "Of course not." He's on tomorrow for an hour with us. But he said soon it would be out. Well, it is out, and I know some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, but we'll talk about it tomorrow. This is up on Yahoo News. Governor Jesse Ventura working on a new project for True TV to investigate conspiracy theories. And, of course, we woke him up to the fact that 9/11 was an inside job. He's coming down here for a speech with myself and Willie Nelson later next month. But before the show ends, I'll give you some details of that. Steve Watson has more of the details. It's up on PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.net right now. In fact, I know a lot more than is in this article, but I'm not going to say anything, really, until Ventura is on tomorrow. But I will tell you this. I was pitched by the same group a year ago to do – you've seen that trailer online – I forget the name of the show. They created a little mini pilot. It was called Conspiracy Nation. And I'm going to, John, Google that, Alex Jones, Conspiracy Nation. And later I want to play that little 1 minute trailer from that. internal pilot they made. But, hey, I'm glad. I mean, Jesse Ventura, I've been thinking, man, this got to be great with a TV show doing this. So I'm just glad that that is going on, that did happen. This is Time Warner is putting this out, by the way. They know that's where the, quote, market is. And that goes to what we were just saying, Colonel Roberts, that this is mainstream now. The New World Order, mainline people know it was true, know we're right. People now know we told them the truth. I don't see how the New World Order is going to get away with this when even mainline TV is doing shows about it. Colonel Roberts?
Well, you know, it's absolutely incredible. It's almost insulting that we have several things going on in the world. If you get on the internet and you look at news sources overseas and you see what's really going on in the world and you can start putting all these things together, then you go back to our own news sources and it's all been censored out. You know, all the news that's fit to print according to them. And so the American public out here that only watches the three or four main networks or listens to two or three places on radio, they don't get the picture of what's going on. So obviously, if it's not in that two-second blurb up there on TV, it didn't happen. And you go to talk to these people, as you and I do, and several and a lot of your listeners do, and we say, look, you know, did you hear about this? This is what's going down. It's already happened. And they look at you and say, no. That can't be. It couldn't happen here. Couldn't happen in this country. I don't know how many times I've heard that it can't happen in this country. And yet it's been happening incrementally for a long time. Now, that's called Fabian socialism. Fabian socialism is you take a society or a country one little step at a time. You don't go kicking the door in and rush in with all your guns and shoot the place up. And that's what they've been doing. They've been doing it in the legislature, they've been doing it in the UN, and they've been doing it on the local level with a lot of your cities getting away with things that are totally unconstitutional. So just taking private property away from somebody so they can build a hotel on it because it generates more property tax, that sort of thing. And then turning around in our courts back up the illegal operations of your local governments. So we've got a court renegade system out there that's gone amok. We've got a Supreme Court that is a toss-up. It's a roulette wheel. You never know where that thing's going to land. We've got a federal government right now made up of nothing but special interest groups like this giant Portuguese man-of-war that has all these different tentacles of different links that hang down. And they all have their own agendas, and they're all using the same power of our money against us. And it's all coming home to roost as we speak.
All right, stay there. Stay there. We're going to come back to Colonel Craig Roberts after this quick break. I'm going to skip the 20 after break for internet listeners because I don't want to waste any time. I want to get back in what we were talking about at the end of the last hour, the plan for martial law, how that will unfold.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Colonel Craig Roberts, our guest for another 20 minutes, then Tommy Chung scheduled to be popping in. Got two big guests coming up tomorrow. One of them, Jesse Ventura, about the new TV show he's working on. There's a lot more than just that, but I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Let's go back to Colonel Craig Roberts and talk about the really serious issues of the criminal banking system trying to bankrupt the United States. When we're getting into martial law, they want to use the military and police. They've tried to train them. They've got the microwave guns, the sound cannons. They've got a certain percentage that'll do it, but a lot of them are waking up now. And so the federal government's openly said, we will use foreigners, but not just Mexican, Canadian, UN troops, as they've stated publicly. We've given the evidence of that earlier. Now, but I want to recap that, Colonel Roberts, because a lot of folks just now joined us. What about the fact that they're hiring all these illegal aliens for the Army? What about the fact they're hiring aggravated felons for the military? I mean, that's all admitted. So they're also doing what Stalin did there. Break all that down for us.
When you have to resort to taking people who are, known criminals, have felony records, and if you have to take people who aren't even Americans, that they come across the border illegally and you end up putting them in the military, then that's an indicator you've got a serious problem with your retention and your strength. During the Vietnam War, they had to resort to the draft. And they also, we had Canadians that came across and joined the Marines and served with us with great distinction. We had, but when I went to boot camp in Los Angeles, I was on a Greyhound bus where there was three of us, I think, that did not have what was known as a choice. And the choice was from a judge that you're going to go to the state penitentiary at Chino or you're going to join the Marine Corps. The judge gave these guys, and they elected joining the Marine Corps, most of them East L.A. street gang type guys, and they ended up joining the Marine Corps and going to boot camp. So the precedent had already been set. We call it the Dirty Dozen mindset. You go to the prison, you give these guys a chance to get out of prison to go die for their country type deal. Well, when we start doing that, that's an indicator that, we don't have enough of our own people enlisting or re-enlisting to maintain the troop levels we want, or B, there's something else afoot that kind of stinks, and that could be a situation where we need to get people in that owe us more than they owe anybody else, so they're going to do what we tell them to do no matter what. And those are the ones I would be afraid of. Those are the ones who might be ordered to shoot Americans at a roadblock and do so. What have they got to lose? They're trying to get citizenship. They're trying to get benefits. They're trying to get something else. They're trying to stay out of prison, whatever it is. They would go along with that mindset. Now, that's a minority of people in the military right now, but you never know what could happen in the future. On the police side of the house, I've talked to police officers from California to Tennessee, and the mindset basically is the officers that are about 35 years old and older are seeing all of this happen and understanding what's going on and getting on board and learning more and educating themselves and talking to other people and getting more concerned, where those below 35, especially those in their 20s, they're not quite there yet. They're the babes in the woods. They're still going along with the yes or three bags full, and they're still in what we call the Wyatt Earp syndrome. You know, I got a badge and a gun, I'll enforce the law and obey orders and that sort of thing. And their scope hasn't focused out yet to see what's really going on in the world. So I kind of take those guys with a grain of salt because they haven't matured yet into the politics outside of their own police department or outside of their own city or county. Another problem that I've seen going on, though, that's worried me, and we've talked about this one before, is cross-deputization. Now, cross-deputization is when you have a state and a county and a city and a federal government and a tribal police all become deputized in their various organizations to where they can enforce any law they want any place they go, and it's the same as the guy that has jurisdiction there. In other words, it's a multi-jurisdictional situation. And it's going to end up at the point where we're going to have a federal police force, a uniformed federal police force, even though it may say the California Highway Patrol or the Houston Police Department or something like that on the guy's shoulder, he'll have another patch or he'll have another ID card that will show him that he can be a federal marshal or a...
Well, that's already happening. I mean, that's already going on, and it's federalized radios. They put in these local regional command centers with the National Guard right next door and everything fused in together.
Well, and they're pulling it all together under the guise of Homeland Security because they couldn't make it work under FEMA like they wanted to. FEMA was a disaster. So now they're pulling it together under Homeland Security, and it just makes me ill to think that you've got the same people doing the same thing that would represent my police department and TSA. As far as I'm concerned, TSA is a total disaster. I call them the airport Nazis. It's another situation of overreaction to something by the federal government, but in the end, they created bureaucracy with police powers that is totally terrifying. You lose when you walk into an airport today, for instance, you lose the First Amendment, you lose the Second Amendment, you lose the Fifth Amendment, you lose everything. When you walk into that airport, you can't say anything, you can't have a bad look on your face or you'll get profiled, you can't complain about anything.
Now they're putting brain scanners not just in the airports but on the streets. And they make you walk through systems that scan your naked body. Those are now going on the streets, not just airports.
Well, and on top of that, you know, we're going the same direction as they did in England, in the UK. And I just read this morning, as a matter of fact, about the crime rate in the UK, especially in London, has skyrocketed since the British public has basically become disarmed. But their excuse was, well, we think we've got some good video imagery of the murderers. There's three of them. We think we've got some good video imagery of them. Well, whoop-de-doo. That doesn't put him in jail, and it didn't save the guy's life that's lying there bleeding in the street. But the cameras in England are supposed to solve everything. So what are we doing? We're following this down the same direction. We're putting cameras all over the place. Now, I had a phone call the other day from somebody that said, hey, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we've got cameras on the intersections of every major street now. Who owns those cameras? What are they looking at? And so I said, well, you know, I never even thought about it, but I'll check in it, because I don't live in Tulsa anymore. I moved out of there and moved to the country when I thought it was a good time to do so. But I started making some phone calls, and I called the police department, and no, they're not our cameras. They belong to the Department of Transportation or the city or somebody. So I called the city street department. No, they're not ours. I called all around. Finally, everybody that seemed to know said, well, we think they're Department of Transportation cameras. And I went, well, what are they doing on our traffic lights? And what are they looking for? What are they looking at? What are they for? Well, no one could answer that question. So I guess if you go up to the state capitol and find whoever's responsible, you can get an answer. But we're seeing this all over the country right now. Well, what does it do? It makes citizens paranoid. I've heard people say, well, you know, when it comes down to it, I'll just take my shotgun out there and start shooting those cameras off the tops of the poles. Well, when people start thinking about that, you know we've got some problems. And these are the average people. These aren't people that belong to a militia. These aren't people who would normally go out and break the law. They're just average people who have had enough. They're fed up. And they're tired of big brotherism, and Americans really hate people prying in our private business. But it's getting worse all the time, and I think it's a spring that sooner or later is going to be compressed to the point to where it flashes back, and it's going to be a big surprise. That's when there'll be federal government entities step in and say, we have public unrest, we've got to stop civil disturbances here, these people can't get away with this, we're the boss, they aren't, you know, I mean, totally backwards on that. And that's when we're going to start seeing military-type reaction to it in the form of martial law.
Well, again, the elite running the planet are criminal. They are out of control. And they're using the police state to try to guard themselves from prosecution from their past crimes, and they want to use a police state apparatus to further consolidate their control. And we better get control of our local governments now. We better educate our mayors and people now, because a few years ago they wouldn't listen. Now they are listening. I talk about the Austin police chief, you know. I thought he was putting me on behind the scenes and on air, saying he's a fan of the show and believes a lot of it. But then I found out people that know him separately at parties and behind the scenes at TV stations and radio stations. He's doing Alex Jones imitations and talking about me constantly. So I guess he's waking up. And I mean, if I was a police chief and I knew about this stuff, I would be thinking about it all the time. I mean, I see that all over the country with police. As much as I bash them for violating the Constitution, I think at the end of the day, they realize that it is this country they owe allegiance to, and the bad guys are in control of the government, just like Hitler was in control of Germany.
Well, you know, Alex, I'm an old X-Files junkie. I really like that show. But every once in a while, they come up with a real jewel. And one of the things that they said in there was, trust no one. I don't know if you ever watched it or remember. It says, trust no one.
No, I remember.
One of the deals. Well, when it comes to chiefs of police, that is the theme. Don't trust a single chief of police out there until you get to know him personally, like you did with this guy.
I'm not even saying he's perfect. I didn't trust him until I heard behind-the-scenes stuff. The point is that they're waking up, they're paying attention.
Well, yeah, that one way or the other. They're getting on board one way or the other, slowly but surely. But you've got to understand, and I'm talking, when I say you, I mean I'm talking.
They may be getting on board because they've been told to be friendly.
Well, I've told you, here's the way it works. There are chiefs of police organizations out there. There's the Major Chiefs Association, there's the National Chiefs Association, there's several others that they belong to, and they're like clubs, and they all share stuff, and they all come under different federal grant monies, and so on and so forth. And what they do is they get together, and most police chiefs of any major city is going to be a political appointee. He's going to be under the, you know, serve at the discretion.
No, I agree. You've got to watch police chiefs a lot more than the average cop, because that's who's going to be infiltrated.
And well, most of your police chiefs organizations are very left-wing. They're very liberal. They're very socialist. And you have to be very careful. They're anti-Second Amendment. They're anti-First Amendment. I mean, there's so many things that a lot of these chiefs fall in that they wouldn't get picked for that position if they weren't that way. If you get a good conservative right-wing police chief, he's the odd man out. You don't see that very much. Now, you'll see that in the sheriffs because they're elected by the people. There's a lot of good right-wing sheriffs out there. There's a lot of good American, patriotic home.
And by right wing, you mean paleo conservative.
Yeah, I'm talking true conservative America.
Yeah, we're going to skip this break for the InfoWars stream listeners and PrisonPlanet.tv folks. For everybody else, we'll be back in 4 minutes. And we again appreciate everybody tuning in, all the sponsors and support. We'll continue with Colonel Craig Roberts. Got about 10 minutes left with him today. It's always great having him. We got to have him back sooner to continue talking about all this as it unfolds. Okay, Colonel Roberts, let's continue. It's internet only right now, but that's a lot of folks watching and listening. How do you see this unfolding? You know, we've talked about what's going on, who's behind the power structure, different things that are happening. I mean, how do you see it unfolding with the international bankers right now? I mean, I know you're not predicting, but what do you see happening?
Well, you know, what this is October. And October is the month of Satan. And October is when you have your October surprises. October is when a lot of evil things happen. October is when we have Halloween. I mean, there's so many things that happen in the month of October leading up to what? The election. So within the next 6 weeks, whatever's going to break loose is going to break loose. And I actually think that it's going to happen within the next 7 to 10 days. Within the next 7 to 10 days, and we've been looking at this, and all my intel guy buddies that I've talked to, we all kind of, you know, try to war game the different scenarios out, and we all feel, since about last April or May, that it was all pointing to September or October of this year, because it's an election year and several other.
No, I've been hearing that for a year, that this is the key zone.
This is it.
From all sorts of sources, yeah.
This is the window. This is their window of opportunity, whatever they're going to do. And like your last guest said, I'm not real sure that we'll have the next election. It could be to the point to where they suspend everything because of economic collapse.
Just like with Roosevelt.
Don't change horses in the middle of a stream. Exactly. And they could declare a national emergency, PDD 25, and all the rest of that stuff gets activated.
So you think they might be willing to be that obvious?
I think so. I think because the American people, if the media keeps pumping this big panic on us, it's really not that big of a deal.
I know. Isn't it amazing to see the president saying depression? I mean, that should cause one right there. And then
These are the people. You know, he's the guy that's supposed to be saying it's not a huge deal. Don't panic. Everything's going to be fine. We're just going to have to fix it and shore up what we need to shore up. But it's not your responsibility to do so. We'll take care of it. You know, the whole thing boils down to the way the media is playing this thing up. I mean, you watch the guy on the morning show at the stock market, and he's panicking before the stock market even opens up. He's up there getting so emotional and waving the mic around about how bad everything is, and it could really go downhill today, and yada, yada. Well, what that does, that spurs people to make it that way because they call their broker, and they say, sell everything I've got. Get rid of it. And the price goes down. The price goes down. More people panic, and it's a snowball effect, and it's stupid how many sheep are out there who will buy off on this, because here's what's happening. Somebody's out there buying that stuff. Now let's rewind the tape back to the Napoleonic Wars. Remember when Nathan Rothschild was at the London Stock Exchange during the Battle of Waterloo, and the Rothschild...
No, I mean, my new film, Endgame, covers that. It's a historical fact that they lied and said that Napoleon had won. It crashed by 90-something percent, and he bought it up, and that's when they got their real power.
Well, the way it happened was they had the Rothschild couriers were allowed to go any place. They had a red bag that had R on it on their horse, and they could go any place because the troops had let them through because they sent messages to both sides.
And they were financing both sides, Jim.
And so the Rothschild courier would ride up to the London stock bond market, and he would go inside, and he would whisper in Nathan's ear, who's a big fat guy sitting in the back of the room, and Nathan just hang his head and just look terrible. Oh, my God, what's happening here? Oh, geez. And everybody's taking this as Wellington's losing the Battle of Waterloo. And so they start selling the stock. And then, you know, a few hours later, another rider would come in. He'd go back there, and just Nathan Rothschild would just wring his hands and just, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. The news is really bad. But he wouldn't say anything to anybody.
Yeah, he would stand by the pillar pulling his hair out.
Really going through the deal. Well, what that was mind control.
All right, here we go. We're back to the full audience. Continue. Yeah. Boom, baba, boom.
Oh, boom, baba, boom.
Jimmy Vaughn.
Oh, boom, baba, boom.
Final segment with Colonel Craig Roberts. I've got to get him up a lot sooner. He was getting into the Rothschilds, panicking the stock exchange, basically putting out the disinfo that Napoleon had won the war to consolidate. And it's through these crashes these elites have the power. and the Rothschilds are the same elite that we had then that we have today. Finishing up with that, Colonel Craig Roberts.
Well, and so here's Rothschild back there acting like they're all gloom and doom. Well, all these people are selling their stock and bonds in the Bank of England. And, well, somebody's buying it up. And at the end of the day, here comes this other writer up, and he, I'm sorry, it was another writer, but it wasn't a Rothschild courier. It was a British Army officer, and he throws the door open, walks in, and says, "God bless the king. Wellington is the victor at Waterloo." And everybody looked around like, "My God, what have I done?" And what they did is they sold their country down the drain because they panicked. And because they panicked...
I mean, isn't this the definition of fire in the theater to have the Secretary of the Treasury, the President, the Democratic leaders, the Republican leaders running around saying, "Depression, depression, if you don't do what we want," then they hammer the market through the plunge protection team, drive it down. I mean, this is pure terrorism. People can debate whether 9/11 was an inside job, but there's no doubt this economic terrorism, stealing over $1.2 trillion yesterday, biggest one-day drop in history of the Dow, I mean, that's terrorism, isn't it, Colonel?
Well, in my mind, it is, because it's political terrorism, it's mental terrorism, it's
fear. What's the definition of terrorism?
It's instilling fear for political purposes.
So
that's what they're doing.
Yeah, unbelievable. And it's fooling some people. They're saying, "Okay, I don't want to lose my 401k and my pension. I guess I'll be for the bailout." And then they sign the blank check. As Bloomberg reports, it's really $5 trillion.
Well, it's you know, the whole thing is a shift of power. And it's creating a debt that the average taxpayer out here is expected to pay for.
Yeah, it's the illusion that we owe it and that they, the bankers that engineered it, are the saviors. I got to have you back sooner rather than later, Colonel, because so much is happening. Let me set you up in the next few weeks to come on the radio show as this unfolds. In closing, give out your website. I know you're a best-selling author, but you've kind of gotten out of that business. You've got a few of your books still left in your shopping cart. Tell us how we get them.
Go to riflewarrior.com. Rifle as in gun, warrior as in soldier, all one word. Riflewarrior.com, and it's all out there in the open. Nothing's hidden.
Well, my friend, we really appreciate you. Riflewarrior.com. And would you personally ask the military and police to, I know most of them have already done it and found out we're telling the truth, but those that are on the fence, they need to look at what we're saying, don't they?
Well, and I think more and more all the time, because it's pretty obvious. It's right in their face right now, and it's affecting them and their pensions and their plans for the future.
Well, they just better figure out crooks run the government or they're going to win. And people may not like my delivery style, but I've just tried my best to warn people, and now we're not talking about it coming. We're in the middle of it, exactly as we said it would unfold. Colonel Roberts, thank you for coming on with us.
We'll see you next time.
You bet. Take care. There goes Colonel Craig Roberts. All right, we're scheduled to have Tommy Chung if we didn't get time zones messed up.
He's here.
Oh, he's already here?
I just got him on hold.
You already got him. We're going to go to break and come back with him. But before I do that, John, did you get that YouTube clip? The latest one Aaron just sent you?
Yep, I'm recording it right now.
Okay, I'm going to play that after the break. I talked to Jesse Ventura. He was coming down to town to speak with me and Willie Nelson at an anti-war / 9/11 truth event later in October. Willie invited myself, and then I said, "Hey, why don't we have Ventura come down?" And he said, "Yeah." And I'll tell you more about that event in the next few days, but Jesse Ventura is almost tomorrow. And I was talking to Jesse a few days ago. He told me all this great stuff he's involved in. Let's just say this. He's not going back to Mexico. And he told me, do not tell anybody about this. So I didn't. I just said there might be some big news Wednesday on the show with Governor Ventura. Well, Time Warner put out a press release. They're going to do a TV series with him. And I know all about this TV series because I know the company that pitched it to him at True TV, because they pitched me a year ago, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and all the major CEOs. I had a meeting with a president, and again, I don't go out pitching TV shows, folks. I'm busy doing what I'm doing. I don't worry about it. It was going to be very grueling, and they wanted me to be the producer. But it went all the way up to the top a year and a half ago, and three different networks said, "We know this will get ratings, but corporate controllers, you know, at CEO level, basically said no." They said that's too dangerous. And it now, this was pitched to a bunch of people, but it's basically the same show. But I am very excited for Governor Ventura. And there's other stuff I know I can't talk about on air because he asked me not to. But then suddenly, Aaron walks in here 30 minutes ago with a PR Newswire deal released by Time Warner about Jesse Ventura. And by the way, this is only the tip of the iceberg. We'll see how much he can say tomorrow. When he's on the show with us. So I'm really excited to have Tommy Chong, of course, of Cheech and Chong fame and a lot more. They're touring together after decades of not touring together. And someday we're going to get him and Cheech on together. That'll really be historical. But we're really honored to have Tommy Chong about to join us after this quick break. But tomorrow, we don't just have Jesse Ventura, another huge secret guest. Well, not just a cult icon, but a pop icon and a great activist against the phony drug war. Tommy Chong is our guest for the next 27 minutes. And we are going to get Cheech on with him. That is the holy grail, these two guys together, because they just got reunited. They're on tour. We're going to tell you all about that and how I can see it when they're coming to town. I'm going to go interview them behind the scenes, maybe even get them in studio. But regardless, Tommy Chong is a great guy, and we want to get an update on all the stuff that's happening with some of the films he's involved in, some of the persecution he's gone through for his standing up against the police state, but mainly about the Cheech and Chong reunion tour, which is just fabulous. Now, before we do that, again, this just broke. I've known about it for a while. I was basically pitched this TV show without looking for it, and it was pitched to all these bigwigs. They said, we know it'll get huge ratings. Frankly, another pilot was shot for Discovery Channel, and one of the heads got axed over it. I don't want to go into a long thing, but it looks like with Ventura, it's going to happen. So I wanted to play this trailer, and I can't say any more, but I'm glad Jesse got this job. Here it is.
You're either evil or you're good. These are the stories you hear in whispered conversations.
We're both in skull and bone with the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about that.
One would think it wouldn't take very long for that to happen, dealing with people like this.
These are the stories that offer different explanations.
These mothers have planned every monster you can imagine, and I do this because I believe in this country.
They are the stories that must be told. Suspicion of our politicians is not new. But the number of citizens who distrust the government today has reached an alarming new height. In New York City, nearly two-thirds of the population believes there is more to 9/11 than has been told.
I believe the title was Bin Laden determined to attack inside the United States.
But where can viewers turn? American Conspiracy. Our nation's preeminent conspiracy expert, radio host Alex Jones, takes us beyond the stock stories of the mainstream media. He asks the questions others won't consider.
Have you been there for the ceremony with the cremation of Kerry?
Frankly, I don't think that's something I need to talk to you about.
He explores the places others only talk about.
You're beginning to sink deeper into the rabbit hole now.
He takes us through the doors others won't enter.
I can't begin to imagine what we're going to discover.
All right, it goes on and on. Anyways, folks, I'm so excited. Can you imagine Jesse Ventura? Because that's what they're doing. Time Warner's announced it. He's going to be charging around investigating the New World Order. And I'm just going to leave it there. I'm going to leave it there. Who knows? We'll be popping in. I could never imagine this as a kid. This is a listen, let's go to Tommy Chong. Hey, Tommy, you went public for 9/11 Truth a few months ago, I guess 6-8 months ago now on this show. It's really great to see the fact that that this movement of not trusting what Big Brother tells us is going mainstream. Tommy Chong.
Yeah, it sure is, man. You know, I've watched the 9/11 was an inside job, you know, the video you did, and I was mesmerized for the hour and a half or whatever it was that it took, because it opened my eyes. I had those feelings, but I never really, you know, it never really gelled until I saw the proof. And now it, just everything makes sense, you know, because, again, and look what they're doing today, you know, attacking Wall Street. You know, they're using Wall Street as the 9/11 to get more money out of the people.
Oh, you're absolutely on target there. There's no doubt that they are orchestrating this. I mean, this is financial terrorism to say, give us you know, complete immunity for all the Wall Street crimes, give us trillions, it's not $700 billion, or we'll have a depression and then the biggest plunge in the market ever when Congress says no and they blame it on Congress. That is amazing, Tommy.
Yeah, and the thing is, but it's like gambling. You know, what they're doing, and thank God the people aren't going for it, is that, you know, these guys have got a gambling Jones, and they keep losing. And they want more money, more money. They're like a junkie that needs more heroin, you know, that and they'll never get enough. And they're trying to use that. I mean, you've seen how McCain tried to be the knight, you know, in shining armor, rescuing everything. And
oh, yeah.
He stuck his foot right into it when it fell on its face. And it wasn't just the Democrats that shot it down. It was the good old, the real conservative Republicans shot it down.
Absolutely. And you talk about a heroin head as an analogy or as an example. This is like a heroin head robbing your house or your stereo and your jewelry, except it's Ben Bernanke and Mr. You know, Treasury Secretary Paulson and Bush that are doing it.
Yeah, well, it's Bush. It's Bush and his cronies. It's the final insult. You know, it's goodbye. We don't care about you. You know, and like you said, you know, who was it? I think it was Michael Moore pointed out the fact that Bush is in totally owned by the Saudis.
By the way, Michael Moore now is in our new film, Truth Rising, saying that he's looking at 9/11 being an inside job, and police and firemen have told him there were bombs in the building. I mean, they're going to have a big problem when Michael Moore and all these other people are starting to go public, Tommy. They're in deep trouble.
Well, I know. And the funny thing is, like you know, I mentioned this to Cheech, you know, and Cheech is, his dad was a cop, and Cheech is straight as can be, you know, on certain things, and Cheech was very, very defensive for these guys, you know. They said, no. He just laughed it off, you know, like, oh, no, that would never happen. And he said, you know, and my son, too, Paris, he said, oh, no, you can make any film, you know, say anything you want, you know, with the editing and that. And so I never said anything. I said, you know, you guys just got to watch this film. Just watch it yourself. Make up your own mind. You know, I'm not going to be trying to sell anybody anything.
What film was that you showed him?
Yours. Yours.
Oh, really? A Terror Storm? What effect did that have on him?
Well, he hasn't seen it yet.
Okay, good. Oh, you just gave it to him.
Neither one have seen it. So that's what I'm going to make sure Cheech sees it before he comes on the show.
Well, I know that Terror Storm, that's what I first gave Ventura 2 years ago in person in San Antonio, then led him to investigate. Then his son gave him loose change, and Ventura woke up. And that's how this is working, is person by person, you know, waking others up, and it's so exciting.
Yeah, it is. And it makes so much sense. You know, because, you know, you can see act of terrorism, you know, like in other countries, you know, but why would they pick those particular targets?
Well, why would the Arabs want to bring the wrath into their country? But I mean, larger than that, what I ought to send you, you probably know about it, but I can send you the video clip of Keith Oberman reporting and Cy Hirsch of New Yorker that Cheney just 3 months ago planned to paint up U.S. patrol boats like Iranian boats and have Navy SEALs dress up as Iranians and attack our ships in the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, that's admitted.
Well, yeah. All that hanky panky's going on, and you know, the funny thing is, Alex, is that these guys, you know, they're so short-sighted. It just boggles the mind how shallow you have to be to go to that length for what purpose? You know, it's there's some sort of insanity that it's really hard to comprehend, you know.
Well, that's what a lot of our guests have been saying, is that and I've interviewed people who are in the government or been in the government, and they say that that's what this current crew was known as when they were junior 20 years ago, was as the crazies.
Yeah.
And they have nicknames like the Prince of Darkness, Richard Pearl, and that they do. They're risk takers, like psychopathic gamblers. They want to get caught. They want to go too far.
Yeah, well, they're like those, you know, like the Unabombers and those guys where they can't stand not being, they want the publicity, they want like serial killers, you know, they want the notoriety, they want to show people how clever they were, And if they're so clever they can't get caught, that defeats their purpose. And so they leave these signs around so that you will find out who were the nuts that perpetrated all this disaster stuff on
exactly. Them. Exactly. Well, after World War II, we were a very trusting country. We began trusting our government too much. We'd just beaten the evil Nazis. And then the people became very gullible. But now the process of waking up to both parties and the whole system is pretty much complete. 9% approval rating for Congress. Bush has the lowest approval rating of any president ever. And 90-plus percent against the bailout, no matter all the fear-mongering that the bankers engage in. It looks to me like it's like somebody, you know, a cousin or something that cheats you one too many times, and you just say, I'm done with you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when I was in prison, the first thing, I eventually learned, you know, that everybody's has an angle, you know, and these so-called friends would come up and be, you know, give me things and, you know, talk nice to me and know all about my family and that, and they're all con artists. And they're all slick, because everybody's got an angle, and that's what you find out, especially in the political world. You know that they make it look like one thing, and then they turn around. You know, I mean, like they do.
The problem is that after they get caught, then they're not trusted anymore. And it's scary to say that a minority of people in government now don't have an angle, and even a minority maybe of the general public. I mean, I'm not trying to be negative. There's a lot of good people, but I've just learned what you've learned, that even common folks have angles.
Oh yeah.
Instead of just stating what they want up front. I don't understand it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I learned in jail. I mean, you find out that the people love the game. They love the game. They love this you know, like I was in there with a security thief, you know, and he made millions and millions of dollars stealing, you know, manipulating the stock market. And while he was in there, he had another company that was, guess what, running mortgages.
So while he was in prison, he was running mortgages.
He was into mortgages. That's what he was doing while he was doing time. And, of course, when the mortgage thing collapsed, of course it collapsed, because that's what these guys were in for. But his thrill wasn't making the millions and millions of dollars, because he was so stoned all the time that he never enjoyed his money, ever. It was the fact that he could do it.
Well, that's what my dad years ago told me. He would say, and my grandfather, too, he'd say, son, there's people that would rather steal a quarter from you than make $100 with you honestly. They get a thrill out of screwing people and lying to people.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we have in power right today. You know, that's what the Republican Party is filled with, these people that are enjoying the game. Like Karl Rove, for instance, you know, he gets more kick out of seeing how gullible these people are. You know, I mean,
by the way, as you know, Tommy, he said things like that to reporters before.
Sure. Sure. I know. I know. Same as Abramoff. Remember when Abramoff was stealing from the Indians? He was bragging about it.
It's unbelievable. I want to get into the tour. I want to get into some of the things that have happened with you, a.k.a. Tommy Chung.
Yeah.
The government seizing the film, but that only made it bigger. I want to plug some of the stuff you're up to, because we really love having you on to support everything you're doing, Tommy Chung. I mean, let's go ahead and get into that now first.
Sure.
I mean, giving us the latest development since you were on with us a few months ago, with what happened with the film you were involved with and what's happened since then with the continued persecution that you're under, where Henry Paulson can steal hundreds of billions, but you're in trouble for selling pipes.
Yeah, for shipping a bong across. No, thinking about shipping a bong, because it was a conspiracy charge.
And again, they had to hire someone to infiltrate your group to secretly mail it, when you on record told them not to mail it to the
city. Right.
Oh, my God.
That's right. No, and it's thinking. It's a thought crime. It was a thought crime of thinking of selling a paraphernalia, a bong, across the state line. And there's a law. And you know who authored that law? Joseph Biden.
Unbelievable. So then a film comes out about this. They don't want the film out. Tell folks what happens.
Oh, well, what happened, the film wasn't, it was in some financial trouble. And then you know, because we couldn't get finishing money. And then Matt Stevens of UrinLuck, you know, the drug testing company that helps people pass drug tests, he stepped up and he bought half interest in the film. And so his warehouse was stocking all the AKA Tommy Chong film when he was raided by the feds. And by the way, it was the same person, Mary Beth Buchanan, raided Matt Stevens's offices. And you know what the charge is, Alex? The charge is that because his drug testing is causing people to withhold information from the IRS because of his drug testing.
Unbelievable. I mean, they bend over.
That is their charge. And so what they did when they confiscated, of course, all his computers, and, you know, it's a big drug testing ring they broke up, you know. And basically what he did was sell urine. That was his job, was selling urine to people that needed urine. And so they got the urine, and then they found the AKA Tommy Chong CDs or DVDs, and so they confiscated a bunch of them, you know. And when he asked them, and they said, you get your stuff back in 4 or 5 years if you're lucky.
Well, Tommy, let's not let them stop the film getting out. The film has gotten out, and a lot of them have gone out. Tell folks how they get that, or I guess just Google AKA Tommy Chong, and it's all over the place. Or can people go to your website and get it?
Yeah, they can get it. AKA Tommy Chong is the best website to get the film. And last time we were on the Alex Jones show, we sold thousands. I mean, it was unbelievable. Matt Stevens couldn't believe it because all of a sudden he got such a rush for orders for it. And it's being sold at on our tour, and we're going to be, like, you know, all over the place. You can go to cheechandchong.com or tour, cheechandchongtour.com.
Absolutely. You guys have been persecuted just massively. People need to buy the film. They need to go to the website. But also, you're some of the best comedians out there. And this is like Led Zeppelin if they do a reunion tour. You don't know if you'll see it again. You guys haven't been together. I mean, talk about that. You haven't been together for a long time. You got back together. Tell us about the tour.
Well, we haven't been together for something like 27 years since we'd last been on stage together. So we got together, and it was like, you know, riding a bike. It was so simple, and we do the old classic Cheech and Chong bits, and we just have the best time. My wife Shelby opens the show, and then we have a back screen projector, and we show some of the clips from all our past stuff, and then then Cheech and I come out, and we do about an hour and a half, and it's just all the old Cheech and Chong bits. And
Tommy Chong's our guest. We've only got about 8 minutes left in the show, so I'm going to skip this break. For everybody on PrisonPlanet.tv and listening over the web for the AM and FM stations, back in just 3 minutes with the legend, Tommy Chong, and we're going to get Cheech on with him soon. That is going to be awesome. Man, I love this show, and I love the great people we get to have on, like Tommy Chong. God bless him. We'll be right back. For everybody else, stay with us. Oh, okay, Tommy, we're skipping this break. Continue with the plug. We're going to plug it again at the end of the show in about 8 minutes when you leave us. But continue with the tour. I hear some of these are selling out. How do folks go sign up for this?
Okay.
Tell folks how they get tickets. We're still on the air.
Okay, right now?
Yes, sir. We skipped the break.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, listen, you go to cheechandchong.com, cheechandchongtour.com. And it'll list all the dates. We've been selling out, adding shows. Los Angeles, we had to add a third show, and they're looking even at a fourth show. So the tickets are going like crazy, and we're selling more merch at every show than the Rolling Stones. I mean, it's gone crazy. And the truth is that Cheech and I, you know, even though we hadn't been together, you know, we can still do the old stuff, and you know, surprisingly enough, the audience, they just want to hear Cheech and Chong. They don't want us to get into any political rap. I try to do a political rap in Detroit, and I got shouted down. They said, no political stuff. They just want, people want to laugh. They don't want to get involved in thinking or anything else. And so what they're high, and they just want to laugh at Cheech and Chong like the old days. And so that's what we've been doing, and the shows have been incredible. Just incredible. The people line up for hours and sometimes days. We did a show in Los Angeles where they camped out overnight because there was only like 300 tickets and people were camped out for like 2 days before the event just to get in line to get a chance to get a ticket. So it's been really, really crazy. And Cheech is back being as funny as he's ever been. And he's loving it. He's just having the best time of his life. And I've been having the best time. And being back together again, I mean, there was such a love and such a magic chemistry between us that is still there.
I remember being a little kid and having the babysitter sneak off with me to go see the first Cheech and Chong movie. And I just, I mean, so from the time I was a little kid, I just love you guys. And that's why it's so crazy to be on air with you right now. Just why did you guys wait so long? I mean, that makes it that much more sweet now and that much more powerful. But why did you guys wait so long to get back together?
Well, we were going to get back together, and then I went to jail.
Ah.
And then I got out. You know, that was a couple of years missing. And then I was on a year probation. And then Cheech had other commitments. And it just went, you know, it was just crazy. And then finally, I went over to his place. You know, he wanted to do the tour, and I went over, and we had a fight, big fight.
Tommy Chong, hold on 1 minute. A few stations are joining us back right now. Here we go. Okay, for those that were on some of the stations that carried that segment on the internet listening, we were getting into how Tommy Chong and Cheech got back together, and after he got out of jail being set up for selling pipes, or thinking about selling pipes, he goes back over to Cheech's house. He just gotten to the point of what happened next. Tommy, continue.
I went over there, and I had an idea. You know, I said, why don't we put a band together, super band? And Cheech blew up. He got really mad, although it was his idea. He got mad. He goes, no, man. People want to see us live. They want to see comedy. You know, they don't want to see just a band.
Try to tell me how to live. I'm sorry.
And so we, so I left, you know, thinking, well, that, you know, we'll never get back together again. And then I emailed Cheech. I sent him an email saying that, listen, you know, it was nice seeing you, and even if we can't work together, why don't we just at least be friends, you know? And so he emailed me back, and he said, I was thinking the same thing, you know, it was nice seeing you too. And then my son, Paris, he read the emails, and he goes, well, Dad, there you go. You guys can get back together. You're friends. There's nothing wrong. He says, it's up to you, Dad. He said, Cheech wants to do it, so it's up to you. And I said, and my son said, do you want to do it? I said, yeah. And so my son just emailed Cheech back saying it was me, and because he knows that I would put some zinger in there that would blow everything. And then we got back together, and it's been just one big high ever since.
How long you been on tour? Just about a month, right?
Yeah, we've been out about a month. We've been out at least, we're getting over a month now.
Okay, well, in closing, I want to say bye to you when the show ends here in about 2 minutes off air. But in closing, Tommy Chong, plug all the websites, because folks are tuning in every millisecond. People need to get the film The Government Tried to Suppress, a.k.a. Tommy Chong. Give out your personal website. Give out the tour website. Give it all out for people.
Okay, well, the a.k.a. Tommy Chong is on that website, a.k.a.tommychong.com. That's the documentary. And then I've got a TommyChong.com website, personal website, where we also are linked up to all the other ones.
Good.
And then there's a CheechandChongTour.com that has all the tour information.
And you're coming to Austin in the next few months. I am going to be there, and I can't wait to meet you guys in person. Who knows, maybe even get you in studio, if not, do a behind-the-scenes interview, and I hope to get you both on before that even unfolds. In closing, shifting back in the last minute and a half to the really big issues that face us, where do you see this bailout going, and what would you say to the public? I mean, was that heartening for you to see Congress say no to the bailout yesterday?
Well, you know, it's like you know, that do or die thing. You know, it's like a suicide note. You know, either give me the money or I'm going to kill myself. And then, he never killed himself.
Yeah, the market went back up today.
Yeah, and the market's doing pretty good. And then it was like, so the question is, who are we bailing out and why?
God, they act like total criminals. I mean, this is classic.
Yeah, why do we need to bail them out? And where's the money going to go? Where's it coming from? And what are we going to get in return? And what's the collateral? You know, I mean,
well, Congressman Ron Paul on this show called for Paulson and Bernanke and all of their arrests, and they need to be arrested. They've committed. I mean, talk about conflict of interest. We've got Henry Paulson still running part of the big brokerage house he was part of, Goldman Sachs, and then he's giving money to his own company.
And do you hear why they come up with that number?
No, I mean, they just pulled...
You know what it was? They needed a big number, so a trillion would look too big, so they said they settled on $750 billion.
That's right, they did say that.
No basis of why they would need that much money.
Okay, Tommy, I'm going to say bye to you here right when the show ends. For everybody else, retransmission on the Internet starts now on the streams. Had a bunch of big guests on today. Infowars.com, big announcements at the start of the show. Go for the restream, Infowars.com. Bye, con Dios. God bless you.